What's poppin'? Oh, it's a whole new week with the Drew and Mike Show and the DealsInTheD.com studios. And we did determine, yes, there is a sponsor for Facebook this week.
Yay.
Grow Green MI is back. Thanks to you, Grow Green MI. They buy in bulk. The best savings on to you, the grower. Bring them a quote for over $2,000 from any other hydro store, and they'll beat it on the spot. How many advertisers do we have that do that? Dr. Yaldo does it, too. With crazy deals like bags of Ocean Force for $10, Advanced Nutrients Big Bud gallons for $79, hundreds of Fluent Spiders in stock for only $1,420.
$1,420, I get it.
Grow Green MI and M36 and Whitmore Lake are online at growgreenmi.com. And I want to mention that there is availability in the Drew and Mike store.
Yeah, there are a few things.
It's not, we don't have the guarantee we do with the pre-sale.
No.
But is there any chance anything will get there on time?
If you get it now, it's very possible.
Okay.
No guarantee, though. Very, very possible.
That's the key.
I think the last day of the mail is the 14th.
Yeah, I think you'd have a good shot. And do we have most of the stuff?
It's in process.
Okay. I don't know what that means. Go to the Drew Mike store and see what we have. See what's left.
It's currently being made.
Hustle through our leftovers at the Drew and Mike store. There's a few things.
There's some
stuff. And then, of course, the Amazon portal, which we should be talking about all the time because everybody's buying so much stuff on Amazon. And honestly, we could be make the Drew and Mike show rich. Buy everything through our Amazon portal. God, if only.
It's this website that's got, like, everything. Jobs, pets, cars, ice dancing suits. I mean, you can find anything there.
That'd be so cool. So, yeah, and we do have the donation bar, too, which I met a few people out at...
Killer Cares. Lodge Grill and Bar.
Yes. And a number of them donate to the show monthly.
Yeah.
$5,
yeah.
$10. I mean, we're so happy we do get the donations. It makes a big difference.
That was a fun event.
It was. Oh, man.
I was getting videos all night after I left.
Of Matt dancing?
Matt dancing. Matt and Stoney singing Thunder Road.
Oh, wow.
Two wireless mics out.
That's a keeper.
Yeah. I don't know why Bruce wasn't good enough, because Bruce was singing too.
I feel like we're bearing the lead, though. There was a proposal.
Yes. Kimmy.
And Matt.
And Matt.
Matt proposed to Kimmy.
They met through the show.
It's very nice. That video, they will always.
You are good shit.
They will always have the remembrance of Mickey Redman and Matt Riley yelling at everyone to shut up so he could propose. It's actually kind of funny. Mickey was getting pissed. Everyone went. You can't get a whole bar of people to be quiet ever. I don't care what's going on.
Well, when Mickey wants everyone's attention, he wants everyone's attention. He's serious. He won't do it often.
Well, I know.
But when
he means it,
he means it.
And Matt just flapping his arms to get everybody to be quiet. That was very sweet, though.
Yes. And
did I say Matt?
Matt.
Isn't it Dan?
Yeah.
Okay. Why did I say Matt?
I don't know.
Wait, who were you referring to?
We were thinking of Matt Jennings, probably.
Oh, maybe I was. I don't know why I said that.
Who are you referring to? Kimmy's man?
Yeah, Dan Centers.
Oh, okay. Okay. I
don't know why I said Matt.
I thought you were talking about Matt Riley for a second there. And then,
there's a lot of Matts. Too many Matts.
Is this the audio from Thursday night?
I want you to know that I love you with all my heart and that I'd be honored if you would be my husband tonight.
It was very nice. It was
actual audio.
And
a nice couple.
And they met on the Facebook podcast fan page.
How about that?
This is great.
Yeah. By the way, those of you on...
It's not all terrible things on Facebook, I suppose.
If you're on those pages, can you please don't bring up politics on those pages. I get embarrassed when I read through and I see how angry some people get, or just how shitty people are.
There's some real assholes on there, man.
There's a right lean there. And man, when somebody comes in there from the left, they just get...
Oh, I mean...
They just get wailed on.
And aside from politics, there's just some mean people
on there. There's some brutality, but that's expected.
Yeah,
I mean, all the people in there,
fine.
They kind of know what's going on. Every now and then, somebody goes in there and they don't know what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they
leave immediately.
They need to run for their lives. So, yeah, it's, you know, people get trampled in the fan page, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Just saying. I wish there were as little politics as possible.
Over $120,000 raised.
Yeah, in fact, including a check for $50,000 from one guy.
Wow.
What is that?
And we got really cool.
We got a studio visit coming up.
Yeah.
And man, this guy ponied up $2,100.
Nice. Wow.
And that was from Robert Bajic.
All right, can someone do a deep dive? Bajic? Has he ever does he have bad tweets in his past?
Not that I'm aware of. Robert, your name's familiar.
That name does sound really familiar.
It's funny how whenever we have an important winner, their name is always unpronounceable. Bajic. What the hell is that? Bajagich.
What's his first name, Robert?
Robert. The online auction.
Boot Edge.
Did over $12,000 for the 7 items. And we don't exactly have winning teams these days. But the studio visit always does so well, which is great. What a nice compliment to us. And we'll make sure Robert has a great time when he does come in.
The other guy that was there, did you talk to Tom Cruise at all?
I saw Tom Cruise as I was leaving.
He's such a nice, he really is a nice
guy. He's a great guy. And Jack's great, too. They're both super nice.
But Tom said people were mistaking him for not Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Other guy we talked to. But
God, he's funny.
He knows not Tom Cruise. Detroit Tom Cruise knows not Tom Cruise.
Not Tom Cruise is in
the hell are you talking about?
He told me a story.
He's in Colorado, right?
Not Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
He's
California?
In L.A.
Yeah, California.
Oh, California, okay.
And so Detroit.
He's got the voice.
Yeah, nailed. He does.
Just nailed.
Detroit Tom Cruise was out there, and not Tom Cruise, I think, was out of town. So Detroit Tom Cruise filled in for not Tom Cruise
what?
At an event. Yeah.
How cool. That's insane. How did it go?
I go, did you get not Tom Cruise's money? He goes, well, that's a different story. I'm like, what? He did it for free? So it sounds like the Tom Cruises just rally around being not Tom Cruise.
It'd be fun.
And not being Tom Cruise.
I bet that's a fun crew.
Fun cruise.
So, not Tom Cruise.
He's that's, a really nice
he
guy.
Makes a living doing that.
Yeah.
I'd pay him to show up. I mean, he's really good. The fact that he has the laugh down, the voice down, it's just, it's almost anything he says makes me laugh. Oh, so I might as well get the bad news out of the way. The lock of the week. Oof. It should have been.
Oof.
It should have been.
A lot of sweating going on.
How come whenever I nail the locks, no one's ever tweeting me and saying congratulations?
Well, because it's a lock. And expect it. It's a lock. You're still way ahead of 500, aren't you?
Oh, I got pummeled last night.
That's only the second defeat in the lock of the week, isn't it?
Second or third? Yeah.
Okay. But how many wins have there been? There's been, what, 40 wins or something?
Congratulations, everybody.
Well, the Patriots, like, week 2 through 7.
Just
it counts. A lock's a lock.
And then Ohio State last week.
Well, Ohio State was just laying an egg. Wisconsin had a great game plan, came out, were all over them. They were up 21-7 at the half. And when Ohio State kicked the field, Wisconsin punter just dropped the ball for no reason.
How much money did he have on the game?
That's what I said. Anyway, Ohio State
That's
was held to
be the best bet anybody ever made.
Ohio State was held to a field goal, so it was 21-17. Then Ohio State scored 24-21. It was early in the fourth quarter, and I thought, I think that lock may just lock itself up. They score again.
Yeah.
They have to win by 16. So it was 31-21. They need a touchdown. They get down to the 2-yard line. Mm-hmm. And what happens? On third down, they get a procedure penalty.
So it's really that guy's fault.
It is. No, he obviously had money in Wisconsin, and he screwed us. But I still thought, oh, maybe they'll intercept it and run it
in. Me too.
I'm trying to win $600.
Because I had received so many tweets and emails at that point, I was like, oh, I'm going to clap back at every one of these.
It was close. It was really close. How could they not have scored there?
The roller coaster of watching was kind of fun because it's like, oh, boy, Brandon's lock of the week just destroyed. And then it was like, oh, my God, I hope his lock of the week comes back. Like, I wanted you to win because I knew you were sweating it and you were mad that people were giving you shit for it. What do they call it? Lock of the week, WEAK?
Yeah, and shit of the week. I heard so many different ones. There's some on the borderline.
Nice creativity.
Wow.
Shit of the week.
Really worked on that one.
Yeah.
No, he sent me a picture of his shit of the week.
Was it the box score for the Ohio State?
No, it's a literal dump he took.
Oh, come on.
Send me a picture.
What are you talking about?
Well, anyway, that didn't work out so well. But they made it. It was close. And then LSU just had an outrageous performance. Clemson murdered Virginia and Oklahoma won. And now we got Michigan.
Isn't it kind of a bummer that all the teams won that were supposed to win?
Kind of.
Like, remember when it started and there'd at least be one team that would just blow it?
Well, I know, and it blows everyone's mind.
Well, didn't Oregon, wasn't that an
upset? I guess that was an upset, yeah, but Utah wouldn't have been in.
They had a shot, didn't they?
Yeah, but they, not with the way everything else fell.
Well, all of our teams have got their locations. The Wolverines, the mighty Wolverines, the Citrus against Alabama.
Kiss my butt. Roll Tide.
Oh, no. What's the line on that? 300?
Thank you, and roll Tide.
That's a good question. I think it's exciting because, you know, it means if they, if they win, it's a big deal. It's cool. It's a nice way to put an exclamation point on
the
season.
They're not going
to win. Okay. Well, then, how about a close game? Just a close game.
Did you know this is the first time in history all five Division I schools in the state of Michigan are going bowling?
I didn't know that.
That's kind of cool.
Very cool. Spartans are at the New Era Pinstripe Bowl.
Yeah.
Yankee Stadium.
Wake Forest. What a blast.
See if they can get a couple hundred people to show up for that.
Even though Maz doesn't approve.
Why does he not approve, by the way?
Because it's Yankee Stadium. He doesn't think the Spartans should be playing. I don't know.
Was he get mad when they had boxing matches there back in the day?
Does he even know that there's a soccer team that's their home field that plays there, NYCFC?
I think, wait.
Nobody cares about
that. Well, no, but.
I think the Mets have played games there in a pinch.
Well, how about the fact that it's not even the old Yankee Stadium anyway, so who cares?
True. Yeah, I don't know what his problem is. Eastern Michigan's going to be in the Quick Lane Bowl. That's where I wanted State to go.
Yeah. That's cool. Good for them, man.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people thought they would be the team left out because there were, what, like 139 eligible teams or something?
And they were 6-6.
Yeah.
But remember how bad they were 10 years ago. They were terrible.
Eastern, yeah.
They were a joke. And we were going to drop football. And now they're playing in a bowl at Ford Field, so that's cool. And by the way, if they beat Pitt, that's going to look like a Super Bowl.
That's pretty cool.
To see those guys celebrate a win. And I don't know. I'm not
Eastern.
Sure they can do that.
Good for Eastern.
Central plays who?
San Diego State in the New Mexico Bowl, December 21st.
Not bad.
I mean, considering that turnaround.
Yeah.
They were, what, 1-11, and now they're 8-5?
Would their play-by-play guy die?
Yeah. Yeah. He seemed young, too.
His picture, he looked a lot younger. Maybe it was an old picture.
Car accident.
Oh,
that's what
car
it was,
accident?
Jesus.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If you can fish his name out there, give his people props, I'm sure he's pretty much the voice of Central Michigan.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit on No Filter last show, but it was Don Sciotto. Yeah.
And he'd been there a while.
Yeah.
Damn.
That sucks.
Western is playing.
That's the Battle of the Westerns, Western Michigan and Western Kentucky, in the vaunted First Responder Bowl.
Where's the First Responder Bowl?
Guess. Where do you think the First Responder Bowl would be?
New York City?
Dallas. I don't know why.
Yeah.
December 30th, though.
That's fine.
It's kind of cool.
No, I'm glad for Western because after P.J. Fleck left, you know, they could have just gone to hell, and now they're in a bowl. That's good.
Oh, that's cool.
Hokies? Do we have a date for the Hokies?
Oh, probably. I'll look it up. Let's see. You didn't get, like, 30 emails from your alumni association trying to get
no.
my tickets like I did?
I have not.
My inbox just got
Are you going to go?
No.
Alabama's pretty cool, I got to say.
It's in Orlando. I remember no desire to go to Orlando.
The Hokies played Alabama when Alabama was like 8-4. This is when, I don't know, Gene Stallings or somebody was there. I mean, they weren't Alabama as we know them now, but it's still Alabama.
Ooh.
And we beat them in the Music City Bowl, and I was kind of pumped.
Well, remember, I've seen Michigan play Alabama, and I got to see them lose, what, 41-14?
Oh, yeah, that was
in Jerry World. Which I was watching the Oklahoma-Baylor game. They had an overhead shot of the stadium, and I said to Charlotte, I go, hey, your mom and dad have been to that stadium. She goes, no, you haven't. I'm like, well, what do you mean? How can I prove to you that I have? But you haven't been there.
That little hothead.
Yeah.
That little hothead contrarian.
Virginia Tech versus Kentucky in the Belk Bowl. Do you know where the Belk Bowl is?
Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's
okay. Hey, December 31st, though, New Year's Eve, noon.
Oh, I like that.
Kentucky had a good year this year.
Okay. No, I'm pumped. Charlotte, we'll have a lot of fans there, too.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And you can bet on all these games. Maybe are people betting on college basketball? They should be.
Oh, your Hokies, man. Did you watch that game?
I did. Wait, which game?
Duke.
They lost to Duke. They were ahead of half. They were ahead by seven after the
tremendous school
start of the second half.
I watched it after Michigan blew out Iowa.
They're a young team. Did somebody from Iowa have 44 points in that game?
Yep.
I saw that and I'm like, oh, Michigan must have lost.
No.
Hello, Iowa.
No. Because he just.
Was it close?
That's all they did. No.
Wasn't You're close kidding me.
Michigan had six guys in double digits.
That's wild.
Yep.
Yeah, so anyway, all these bowl games, all these events to bet on with MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code Drew if you want to get into the matching area. Be sure to read the rules. And my God, you can bet on fantasy. You can bet on Devin Singletary.
Yes.
Well, it's too sure late can. To bet on Devin Singletary. Can you bet on him weekly?
Probably. Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
Why don't we put in a weekly bet on him? That should be a lock, a Devin Singletary weekly lock.
That's fantastic.
It's a brilliant idea.
You should buy a Singletary jersey with all that money you've made, Drew.
I know. Well, it doesn't come in until the end of the month. So.
MyBookie.ag and promo code Drew. MyBookie.ag, promo code Drew. You play, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. So much to bet. You bet on hockey right now. And, you know, real quick, I want to mention on hockey that Darren McCarty came out to say that Mike Babcock, you know, it's so much like Me Too. Yep. A couple voices come out, and then all of a sudden, whammo!
And strength in numbers, I get it.
Hockey's a sport where it's not a big kiss-and-tell kind of sport. First of all, most people in the hockey world are pretty nice people, mm-hmm. as professionals go.
Check your feelings, baby!
But this guy, Mike Babcock, just sounds like an absolute a-hole. And there were a couple references. Darren made one of them. To treating the help really badly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did Johan said that, too. Like, if it was just a janitor, he would yell at him.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That just sucks. Darren mentioned him dressing somebody down. Darren was harsh. And Darren said, I got along with him, and I think he's a real a-hole.
He did add, though, that you don't like Franz, and that he's a good X's and O's guy.
Everyone said that.
I know.
Apparently, that doesn't matter anymore.
But he really did he did add that that's the reason they didn't win the cup?
Yeah, that...
In 09, which I was... kind of odd.
I didn't... Yeah, that was the headline, too. And, you know, it's really hard to say something like that.
I think not being able to score a goal in Game 7 in 2009, that kind of... That was a factor.
Well, that was his point, though, because he claimed Babcock overused Datsyuk and Zetterberg.
I know, but could you really overuse Datsyuk in 2009?
You know what they did, though? They went back and see Datsyuk's house is for sale.
Yeah.
Nice castle. Nice $4.5 million home. Is that on, what lake is that on?
God, I forgot. Let's see if I can find it.
Look it up if you get a chance. Wow, that's a beautiful place.
Bloomfield? Whew.
They had an interior picture. Did you look at the interior pictures?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wow.
I know, it's so invasive. I couldn't help it. I could see Pavel Datsyuk's house. I couldn't see myself comfortable in that house anywhere. I was like, where would I lie down in that house?
Lower Long Lake is where it is. Where would you lie down?
Everything awesome. Looked too nice.
In one of the turrets. What are you talking about? Where else
would
you
of course.
Lie down?
I'll have a turret all to myself.
Shower looks amazing.
When you know I can't live anywhere with a turret.
That when you know your house is ridiculous when you have a turret?
$4.5 million, 5-bedroom, 6-bathroom.
And one turret.
7,780.
And don't forget, 2 gladiator statues at the entranceway, which is a little weird.
I know. Now, I'm not going to argue with Darren, because I love Darren.
Yeah,
I love him. And I'm glad he spoke out, too.
I got to say, I'm really focused on Datsyuk's home. The foyer sitting room is really weird, too. Did you see that picture?
There's a lot of places in that house I wouldn't be comfortable.
It's just, you know, it's the entrance area, and it's just this giant circular room with 2 chairs in it.
I know.
No
who's ever going to sit there, and where do I put my piles of papers in that house?
Where do you put your keys?
Yeah, where's the junk drawer? Where's the junk basket? Where are the paper piles?
How much space? Oh, wow. Do you get the coat of arms next to the fireplace, or does Dad take that with him?
Where's he going to take that to? Come on. It belongs with the house.
Some of the fun.
If you've got a turret, you've got to leave that there.
Yeah, he's guarding the turret.
You know, I wanted to say about the 2009 Stanley Cup that the writer, who I thought did a pretty good job, Carlos Monterrez.
Yeah.
Carlos pointed out that the minutes played was very similar between 2008 and 2009 with the guys, with Datsyuk and Zetterberg, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, they even get to the finals, though, if he's not the X's and O's guys that he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think I know what Darren, I think he means the team is tight. They weren't loose. They were a great team. They still had great players. Maybe they're just too tight. But they lost the last game. They're down 2-0 in the last minute and a half or so, and they scored to make it 2-1, didn't they?
No.
That wasn't the year.
Well, because Maxine Talbot scored those two goals, and both of them were kind of soft.
Yeah, but weren't they leading 2-0 almost the entire game?
Yeah, but then it was like halfway through the third.
Why are you saying no?
Because halfway through the third is when Erickson scored, didn't he? 14 minutes.
You sound awfully sure of yourself when you were telling me I was wrong.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. Okay. 14 minutes.
And there would be 6 minutes left. So that would be just almost as close to 1 minute left as to 10 minutes left.
And they Lidstrom had that last second shot that didn't go in. So, I mean, it sucked.
The Madonna thing was really interesting, too. Darren said that he benched Mike Madonna.
Yeah.
Make him a healthy scratch to leave him at 1,499 games for his career.
Weird.
Like, why would you do that?
That sounded... You know, some people are just mean-spirited.
I don't understand that.
And it sounded mean-spirited.
It really
because,
did.
And Madonna, you know, and you see guys who are... generally classy people, and they say, well, yeah, we talked about it, and that was what we decided. You know Mike Madonna could have stepped out on the ice for 10 seconds and played his 1,500th game.
Yeah, nice little round number.
That was a really interesting thing in that story, because it's kind of hard to argue with.
Didn't he bench Chelios for the Winter Classic?
Those are weird decisions.
Yeah, that sounds like somebody who likes to prove they're the boss.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've been a fan of that kind of person.
Anyway. Well, no way Babcock's getting another job in the league.
Has that been discussed at all? Because, you know, that's what's really interesting about this. You know, for example, Kid Rock. And I want to come back to Kid Rock again today, believe it or not. Not right now. Is, you know, when I asked Gary, because, you know, there was so much pressure put on Little Caesars Arena to get him the fuck out. Mm-hmm. So what happens when he comes back around again? All the hell that was raised? The middle finger to the city of Detroit having him open the arena.
Kind of works for him now, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, with his fans.
Kind of galvanize him.
It does, but are they going to put pressure on them not to book Kid Rock?
Oh, they will, but they're still going to book him. I think they will, too. As long as those tickets will sell.
Oh, and they will. All right, we'll get to the couple other... Oh, the Lions played today. We gotta mention
they did?
Yeah, they did. They lost their sixth in a row. So but they're rebuilding. And they've led every game. Oh, no, they haven't led every game so far this year because they were never leading today.
Finally.
I am so tired of people saying, they were leading in every game so far this year. They had the lead at some point in the game, so they could have won every game.
That first possession was just great, too. Two tip passes and a sack.
I don't know why.
It's right then and we were like, oh my God, how bad is this going to be today?
When Prater's field goal just curved wildly to the right, I just laughed. Well, really made me laugh out loud.
At the end of the first half, I'm sitting there going, how are they only down 7-0 and then 10-0?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Like, this game has been so lopsided. If they score here, it's back to a one-possession game. Could be 10-7. And then he takes a ridiculous sack. Blau. Is that his name?
Yes. Blau.
Just kidding. And then
he really didn't look together today. No. I don't know.
And then a missed field goal, and then a bomb down the field. Next thing you know, it's 17-0. Like,
yep.
All right, done.
And,
over.
Speaking of Blau, there was a point late in the third period, and maybe early fourth quarter, where it was 20-0, I think, or maybe it was 17, and then it was 20.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, we were in the three scores. Why weren't we in a hurry-up offense? I mean, it just seems like you would be because you got to hurry up and score.
They did do that before that string of really bad things at the end of the first half, like 4 minutes left in the first.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because they even know. They know.
Yes.
Disaster it is.
I was going to mention a nice note I got from you want to open the Hall Financial Hotline just in case we call Stan today? Somebody. Hall Financial Hotline's been busy lately, as is Hall Financial. And it was my friend Mike who sent me a DM. Did a refi with Hall Financial, done in 19 days. I wasted a couple of those days, or it would have been quicker. Dropped 3 years off and lowered my rate to 3.6%. It's going to save me about $20,000 over the life of the loan. See, that's what, you know, what I'm saying. When you save money on a refi, you could save it for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. You could save it for the next 29 years if you just started your mortgage. I don't know if you'd refi that soon, but just saying. That's 20 grand. How good does Mike feel? Five stars from me. Phil Lipinski was great. And I mentioned DMP to keep them on your good side. Of course. We always want David Hall on our good side. And those interest rates remain as low as they've been at any point this year. So, you know, if you want to be smart, if you want to do what smart people are doing, look into a refi. You don't have to do it if they say, you know what, you're not going to save money, because they will tell you that. You want to pay fees and stuff if you're not going to save enough money. Why don't you wait and see if it looks better later? Anyway, a lot of people feel like, did I miss the boat on refinancing to save money? The answer is no. Rates remain super low. News doesn't report as much because it's been going on for a while, and they do take great care of the podcast listeners at Hall Financials. So go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or click the link on our website, fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you fast. They are fast. In fact, the last 22 closings, 17 were ready to close in 10 days or less. And if Mike hadn't been dicking around, his would have been closed in 16 or 17 days. So there you go. 248-308-5000 for Hall Financial. You won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. So, the Lions. I don't know why I'm so amused by this word that, hey, looks like Matt Patricia's going to be back right around the league, is that the players are buying in.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I could. When they were down 20-0 today and they had about 100 yards going to the fourth quarter, you could tell those players were buying in.
Buying in.
We're buying in. What? Look, okay, is leading in every game the measure? Is buying in the measure? I thought wins and losses were pretty huge.
What does buying in even mean? I mean, they are professional.
I believe they are buying in.
They are playing for money. They are playing to continue their job.
You know what Matt Patricia keeps saying? I've never seen a team fight so hard.
Yeah, because that's what they're paid to do. They're paid to play their best on every play. They're just not that good.
I have seen teams fight this hard. They're not fighting specially hard. They're just playing hard. They're playing.
Oh, really? Really looked like the 49ers were fighting hard today.
Did.
They did.
It looked like they were fighting harder than the Lions.
Yeah. And they're 11-2.
So just to get to the brunt of it, too, I'm going to ask Eli. I want him to go through the drafts of Bob Quinn on a sports show where they have time. Because I don't understand this whole, and I'm certain people say this, and usually they're either Matt Patricia fans or they're, you know, these.
Those exist?
I think, yeah, there are. Oh. There are people that do not want them to change coaches. I know, it blows my mind.
Right away, I was driving by a car on Friday morning, and they had a Lions sticker on the back window, and then on the side, they had that sticker that's just like the outline of the head, where it's a hat, a beard, and a pencil.
Uh-huh.
So you know it's Patricia. I'm like,
of course.
Wouldn't you just take that off by now? Maybe if you were excited when he got hired, you put that on, wouldn't you?
Isn't it funny when you see?
Can't you remove that now?
It's funny when you see a jersey that just.
Oh, I know.
Why are you wearing that? You shouldn't even wear that jersey. You should retire it.
You mean like my Cowboys number 11 Drew Henson jersey that I had?
It's a little out of it. It's a little done.
I don't know, did he even take a snap for it?
I remember when that guy said he had a Harold Snaps jersey, but he never wore it anymore because Mike loved Harold Snaps, mostly because he yelled, Harold!
No, it's pretty bad. It's like, I'll buy you another sticker. Just take that one off. And
a Prince Fielder jersey at a Tigers game.
Yeah.
Borderline, maybe.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Lions, you know, what some people are saying, and I'm not joking when I say that, is that, you know, 2 years is not long enough for a rebuild. Rebuild?
Well, he's the coach. He's not rebuilding it. That's Quinn.
Yeah, he's been here 4 years.
Yeah.
He had two drafts. Before Matt Patricia got here.
Gotten worse.
So is it like, oh my God, we got to totally rebuild it now because Matt Patricia's here?
Frankly, get rid of both of them and totally rebuild it then.
It didn't work. I think Quinn has had enough time.
Yes.
His drafts have not been that great.
It didn't work.
Yeah, no, it's not worked. It's been a kind of a spectacular failure.
Yeah,
I mean, to go from 11-5, then the 7-9 year disappointing, but they played well at the end, so it's kind of, you know, we might keep going somewhere. 9-7,
yep.
9-7. Hey, this is okay, but 9-7 is not good enough. That was the word. And then 6-10 with a healthy Matt Stafford. And I say that because these people around the league who are also saying that the Lions locker room is buying in. I need a lot of quotation marks here. Those same people are saying, but Matt Stafford's been hurt. He's missed four games. They're 9-14.
And the first Driscoll game wouldn't have mattered.
No. They're 9-14-1 with Matt Stafford. When you come in as a new coach or as a new GM, as Quinn did, and you've got a quarterback like Matt Stafford who's really in, he's at the top of his game, I would say. I'm not saying he's the best, but he's good. You have to worry about him. That's a big advantage in a rebuild.
Sure.
If it's a rebuild.
Well,
I mean, that sort of means it's not a rebuild, actually.
Let's start over and rebuild again.
I mean, how many drafts do they need? How many? I mean, really? Haven't we turned over the whole flipping team?
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
We started talking today about Hockenson.
Yeah.
And not to pick on him, but to pick on him. And I had just been reading about Devin Bush and what a great year he's having. I'm like, wait, we could have had Devin Bush? He was the next guy or two after Hockenson.
It really feels like if they're not good, with the exception of a quarterback, but if they're not any good within the first year, they're not going to be that great.
The players, you mean, or
players,
the coaches?
The drafts. Well, coaches, too, for
Who's the Pro Bowler? Who's the great Pro Bowler in these four drafts that he's picked? The guy that's going to be there every year. One guy hit it. You can't hit it every year, but you
Scarbs.
Hit it.
One out of three agent, the undrafted free agent.
Scarbs.
Which is just dumb luck.
He left the field today injured. He ran hard.
Galladay.
He's good. I agree. That was a good pick.
A'Shaun's not been that bad. Is A'Shaun one of his picks?
No. Oh, yes, he is. He's a second-round pick.
Okay.
He's okay. Ragnow's okay.
Tease Tabor.
First pick, though. Is Ragnow, was he worth a first-round pick?
He could, yeah. Yeah. You but Decker isn't, I'll tell you that much.
No. You know what? Tomlinson?
Oh, yeah, Lakin Tomlinson. Didn't he go elsewhere and got pretty good again?
He's San Francisco, maybe?
Or
I was
he,
looking
is
him
he
up.
Cut, was he cut again? I swear, no, I swear his first year away, he actually had a pretty good year.
I tell you, Quandre Diggs is playing great in Seattle.
Sounds like he's buying in there.
That was a dumb fuck move.
Yeah, I don't
know.
And
that nobody bought into that in the locker room.
What about Van Noy? How did he do it?
Did Van Noy, was that Bob Quinn that traded him, or was that previous?
I don't know what year that was.
The one I was going to bring up, though, was I turned the game today, and I know it's not a sports podcast. We'll be done in a second. And I'm watching number 33, the running back from Florida State. What's his name?
Dalvin Cook.
And I remember him playing against Michigan. Weren't they in the Orange Bowl against Michigan?
Yeah, it was the Orange Bowl. Yep.
I think Florida State barely won.
Yeah, it was back and forth, kind of a crazy
game. It was a great game. Anyway, Dalvin Cook was just racing up and down the sidelines, and I'd seen him play before, and I thought, wow, would he be a great guy to have. So I'm watching him hit the line today for Minnesota, and he's having a great year. He's well over, what's he got, 1,100, 1,200 yards?
Mm-hmm. I think he's leading the league in touchdowns now.
And he hits the line so fast, and I was going, God, I wish we had a guy like Dalvin Cook. And so all of a sudden, Brandon starts looking it up. Where was he taken? 41st!
Oh, boy.
And who do we take ahead of him?
That was Davis, right?
Yeah.
Jared Davis.
Yeah, right. I think that's what we were talking about, was Davis got injured.
The irreplaceable Jared Davis, who grades very low at his position. Very low. And he seems like a good guy.
Quinn did trade Van Noy, by the way.
Oh, he did.
2016.
Great. That worked out well.
That didn't work.
It didn't work as well. I don't
get rid of
I them. Can't imagine why you keep either of these guys. I can't imagine. Not were they 9-19-1 under Matt Patricia now?
Hire that Ryan Day guy out of Ohio State. He's pretty good. And Urban Meyer can be the general manager.
If they were 9-7 and that wasn't good enough, if he went 9-7, that would be like going 0-12 since he reached the not good enough point of Caldwell.
They're so bad.
I know they're really bad.
Are you shocked? I'm shocked how bad they are this year.
I'm pretty surprised. I don't know why. I didn't expect much better. I just thought they'd be better. I thought they'd be 500 again.
Yep. Well, you know, I took that over bet, so I really expected more.
I have another important sports topic I'm going to get out of the way. It's not really a sports topic, so don't hit me with this. It's not a sports podcast.
Oh.
The Dr. Pepper halftime game.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted about it. I didn't get to see it.
I was livid.
How was it?
I was livid during every game because, first of all, They were. I thought intentionally picking these super jock girls and these unathletic guys, nerdy guys with frosted hair.
What a conspiracy
to go against
theory.
The girl, and the girl always beats the guy.
I like that conspiracy theory. It's so ridiculous.
I know it is, but they pick really unathletic guys, and they do that chest pass.
This is an effect of who signs up in sweepstakes.
Well,
who signs up to do things?
That could well be.
Free tuition? Is that what that's for?
It's like $100,000.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, if you go to
halftime, so like 2 years of college.
I would probably chess pass too then.
But they shouldn't allow a chess pass. There was a time when it was more like a shuttle pass.
Who was their coach? Did they have a coach, like a former player?
I don't know. They did not.
They didn't have like Art Schleister out there to teach them how to do it.
Those people always got in the way, by the way, didn't they? Wasn't that awkward? They were there always.
They were there for a paid appearance.
Yeah, they were. Oh, they had no problem being there. I just thought as a viewer, it's like, dude, we got Dr. Pepper. We have a referee. We've got these two stupid things 20 yards away.
Showed how serious an event it was.
Yeah, halftime of the Ohio State game.
I'm looking for him. Speeding.
And this guy, what's with the shout-outs? Did you hear the shout-outs? He was doing shout-outs.
To who?
You'll hear it. I think there might have been a quid pro quo in there.
I wish you wouldn't didn't tell me who would have won. Oh, here he
why,
is.
Why don't, is they, with that why, don't, stash? Why don't they make them pass the ball overhead like a quarterback?
Yeah, that should be in the rules.
For today's halftime,
how many plugs are there going
to
be?
Dr. Pepper and the Big Ten are proud to present the Dr.
Remember
Pepper.
Remember when it was Nokia?
Giveaway
Nokia.
In just a few moments.
That guy, we called him and he said Nokia like five times.
As they can into the giant Dr. Pepper
cans. He was all excited because they gave him a Nokia phone for the weekend. We're like, what? That's ridiculously cheap.
Tyler Gordon from West Virginia. He's currently
look at
attending
look at the part
Virginia
on that guy, Mark.
That's a hard part. That's shaved in.
That tuition money would go a long way to help pay
does
for
he
law
look like a quarterback?
Today.
No.
We also have Marcus A.
Okay, there's the frosted
Texas
hair guy.
At the University of Oklahoma. Now, for you, you've got a big
like?
Dream of one day becoming a meteorologist. This tuition money go a long way. Guys, are you ready for this? Take your position.
I love the candid conversation.
Whoever makes the most throws into the giant Dr. Pepper cans wins will take home $100,000.
Why is Dr. Pepper guy always number 23?
Isn't that their number of Dr. Pepper? Is there something to...
Is that? Okay. 23 calories, maybe?
Good luck to you both.
Oh, look at the official.
Ref is buff.
Like he's really got something to do.
Congratulations again, Marcus.
He's not even the one counting him, is he?
Do not touch the footballs until I blow the whistle, and do not cross.
What are you
going
to do?
Are you ready? On my count, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Is he counting it down?
Look at the chest passes. No one throws a pass.
Tyler and Marcus off to
there's
a great
Mr. Frosted
start.
Hair. He's got a perfect chest pass.
Oh, silly.
They both told me they practice.
I mean,
you'll
never see a spiral, ever.
Right
now. Of course, a chick commentating.
Yeah, but for $100,000, I'd do whatever the quickest way to get that ball
I know,
in
but
there.
Make them pass it, though. It's football.
Should have to do it overhand, yeah.
One.
Okay. Here comes Mr. Shoutout.
Congratulations. Tyler is our winner.
Wow, she's pumped.
And here to present the tuition check to our winner, Tracy Moore, Vice President of Consumer Engagement. Congratulations, Tracy.
You might have to have two plugs.
Great job, Tyler. On behalf of everyone.
Can't one sponsor do this?
I am thrilled to present you with this check for $100,000 in tuition.
Watch how comfortable this guy gets.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Congratulations, Tyler. How will this tuition money change your life?
It's going to change my life in every way, shape, and form. I want to thank God.
You're going to shave that mustache?
From the bottom of my heart, if you do not believe in him, I pray that you would
he's
soon
an evangelist.
Become a believer.
A little pushy.
I also want to thank my family and friends. Shout out to WVU. Trust the climb, Mountaineer Nation. And last but not least, happy birthday to my six-year-old nephew, Owen.
What?
Congratulations.
What a bullshit
well
shout-out that was.
Six-year-old. Six-year-olds love being shouted out.
Oh, and now showing slow-mo doing that stupid chest pass. Oh, my God.
So bad. Although, I got to say, Lamar Jackson had a chest pass touchdown.
They did. The Dolphins had one last week, too, with that to the kicker.
That's right. That's right.
That was kind of a
really cool trick play.
I guess this Mr. Shoutout could have made that pass.
Consumerism's always been a big part of this stuff, though. You know that.
Can't they just have one sponsor? Really, one sponsor can't swing the tuition and whatever else? I mean, honestly, shouldn't Dr. Pepper just pay for the fucking tuition?
What was that lady's title? Consumer, director of consumer?
Consumer something, I don't know.
She used the upper game.
Do we really need her there, too?
We all know what the gold standard is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are these representatives?
Oh, yeah.
Let me get on this side, Chief, for a second.
Absolutely.
Coach, what goes along with the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl trophy is another trophy.
It took me forever to find it.
It's been almost 50 years that Tennessee had a shot to win. Here with us. from Sears Roebuck and Company as the president.
Wait, Dan Sears Loughlin Roebuck and Company?
To make the presentation of the Sears National Champion Trophy.
Nobody remembers this guy.
Coach?
Because the Tostitos guy was way better.
Sears, the 300,000 associates nationwide, I'd like, in the American Football Coaches Association, I'd like to present to you, your team, and the University of Tennessee.
This guy's almost as bad as Rick Wilde.
National Football Championship Trophy. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Where's my man?
I want to say on behalf of our football team a special thank you to the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl. They were incredible hosts.
Tostitos.
I want to say an unbelievable thank you to the crowd.
Remember when Philip Fulmer wasn't good enough to be the coach anymore?
Yep. Oops. He's going to lean in.
I want to say a special thank you.
I feel him coming.
A special thank
it's
you.
It's right when Lynn asks the next question.
To this
right?
group of seniors that have been incredible leaders for our football team throughout the year.
Boy, are every championship speech the same thing?
And I know. Sears, thank you.
Sears, he thinks Sears. How'd that work out for Sears, that sponsorship?
Football has brought one of
Sears is
home.
Killing it.
They didn't get charged enough.
Place for it. Thank you.
That didn't work out well, didn't it?
So Phil Fulmer, Philip
what?
Fulmer, has been validated. He is now
Wait.
Among the legends.
Where's my man?
I don't know. I saw him standing up there.
Did we miss him?
No. Congratulations.
He must have stuck it. He must have just stuck his nose. It's real quick. He goes, hey, I'm going to back at Tostitos.
Try this part.
And we.
You blew it!
Here it is.
Family. Folks from Tennessee, coach.
He's holding it so proudly.
We're going to ask you to turn around here for a moment.
That last person edited the video.
Face your fans.
Got a little bag of Tostitos there.
I have Herman Frazier here, president of the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
This is the most awkward plug ever.
This could have been some controversy because Herman Frazier, the head of the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, pushes him out of the way.
I know.
Folks from Tennessee, coach. We're going to ask you to turn around here for a moment.
Get him
face
out
your
here.
Fans.
Got a little bag of Tostitos there.
I have Herman Frazier here.
That guy a raise.
You know the Tostitos people
Tostitos
just blew up. They were so excited when he did that.
His whole goal is to make sure Philip Fulmer holds
Coach
a bag
Fulmer,
of Tostitos.
Yeah.
On behalf of Tostitos, they're represented by
that's not the same guy, is it?
John no, this Compton. Is Herman Frazier, the
who's
head of the
who's the guy with the bag?
Would like to congratulate
brand representative
you
for Tostitos.
He killed it, man. He should be at the top by now.
Our
how about Rick Wilde while we're here?
Okay.
Rick Wilde, he just
Madison, congratulations.
He just freaked
the
out.
Official sponsor or the official vehicle of Major League Baseball.
He's so nervous.
Chevrolet is proud to participate in this prestigious award. Along with our dealers, we are also extremely
I
honored to get back to this sport.
He's making everyone else nervous, too.
Baseball in cities and towns across this nation.
The only one I have.
Congratulations. As the official sponsor or the official vehicle of Major League Baseball, Chevrolet is proud to participate in this prestigious award. Along with
I
our
never
dealers,
realized
we are also
down
extremely
card.
Honored to get back to this
why
sport.
Why are you breathing so hard?
By sporting baseball in cities and towns across this nation. At Chevrolet, we have...
Everybody's looking right at him.
We have also been
again.
Proud of the latest
Let's
and
see,
greatest
like,
technology in
hair.
Our truck lineup, which is the all-new 2015 Chevy Colorado. It combines class-winning and leading technology and stuff with Wi-Fi powered by OnStar. Is it there on the screen? To recognize your performance in this 2014 World Series, I proudly present to you your very own set of keys to a brand new 2015 Chevy Colorado. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Those keys are so sweaty, too. They were way down in his pocket. Those suit pants with the pockets way too low.
The technology.
Where his nuts hang.
Technology and stuff went viral, didn't it?
Why did
I think
they,
it did.
Shouldn't Chevy have used that in the slogan?
Yeah, no, that could have been a line they use every
really
time funny. Or even reference, as Rick Wilde said. Lots of great technology and stuff.
And stuff.
They could have used that in a commercial.
Because really, that's a good selling point. Nobody needs to know exactly what the technology
no,
is.
No, if somebody says technology and stuff, that's good
yeah,
enough
yeah,
for
it's
me.
It's loaded up. It's fine.
Okay, so Brandon's got his locks of the week. Just want to hear about that right now. He'll be pumped in a few days, though, when he's setting you up with a paycheck doubling.
Mm-hmm.
Once again. Gabara, Stacy, Anthony, Jessica, all the hottest sales staff in Oakland County are busting in on Brandon's territory. There's going to be someone new on that list.
Oh, that's right. How exciting.
Yes, indeed. We'll have to announce that. We're going to announce it this week. For a short time, Zod, Ford, and Holly is offering their lock of the month with a never before seen trifi, someone we all know that will more than double your paycheck. Part one gets 0% financing up to 72 months on your next new Ford. Part two, on top of the 0% loan, you will make no payment on your new Ford for 3 months. And then the lock of all locks. Part three, with 0% financing, no payment for 90 days, Zot Ford will line your pockets with up to $7,000 in cash. Yes, Zot Ford will give you as much as $7,000 in cash when you buy or lease a new Ford. Take that cash, buy your loved ones gifts, pay bills, take your family on vacation, or lower your car payment. Pick up the phone, call Anthony directly to activate your lock trifecta of the month. With 0% financing, no payment till the holidays, and $7,000 in cash in your pocket. 248-215-5151 is the magic number. It's been doing really well.
Good.
248.
Until I kibosh it.
Well, this is it. Here's the official Sugar Bowl, Nokia Sugar Bowl Bowl. $1 million. It's all yours, Charles.
They used to give away $1 million.
They did?
Oh, he's got to make the throw through the thing. I hope this is the right one.
Oh, let me see.
Him, right?
He still pockets $40,000. Pretty good work for Charles. Let's take another look at this. This is 11 by 11, folks. You with the sharp
eyes. Is that the guy we talked to?
This target's just a little bit smaller.
And when you're throwing it with a little bit of
why are they actually breaking down the throw?
That 11 inches tightens up in a big hurry. Great effort, though, Charles.
Well, at least it's better than that chick that shows up for the chest pass.
Now, Charles, by Matt Wiss, the vice president of marketing for Nokia. And Matt, $40,000. That's a pretty good payday.
I'll take that home any day. That's a great effort, Charles.
Congratulations. Charles, you came so close, but it wasn't close enough.
That's okay. It's been worth it. It's great. Nokia has been great. I've enjoyed the trip. And thanks to Matt, to all of Nokia, it's been great.
Let's go back upstairs.
Jack, thank you very much. Charles, you were wrong.
He was really intense about Matt and Nokia.
It worked out pretty good for Nokia.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still killing it, right, in the smartphone game?
Absolutely. I mentioned the lock trifecta. Lock it in. Activate it. 248-215-5151 is the magic number. For Anthony, call now before Brandon tries to kibosh Zot Ford's ultimate lock. And let's see. Where to now? St. Peter. Oh, yes. Dr. Yaldo. How about giving yourself the gift of 2020 vision or better in 2020? How cool is that? You can only do that once. The only way to have precision near and far vision without glasses, contacts, and those utterly annoying reading glasses is with safe, reliable, state-of-the-art procedures like those you get at the Yaldo Eye Center.
Get it?
Michigan's number one eye clinic. Custom LASIK by Dr. Yaldo gives his patients, most of them, better in 2020. The medical standard for perfect vision and multifocal lens exchange for people 45 and older will forever eliminate the need for reading glasses along with 20/20 far vision. If you have a flex or health savings account that expires at year's end, use it toward the best gift you can give yourself no matter when you come in for the procedure. Find out what works for you. The evaluation is free. And remember, Dr. Yaldo will gladly beat any competing offer you may have gotten elsewhere. Call 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to Yaldo Eye Center. Let's see. Lots of odds and ends. You know, I think I'll... it's funny when we talk about music. I know some people really like it, and some people fast forward.
What?
I know.
Why?
I don't... You know, it
like
used
have,
to
like
be...
they have something better to do.
Well, I used to think back in the WRF days that everybody was a rocker through and through. Just like me.
Yeah.
And as time wore on, though, I think because we were a talk show for so long, we started to draw people from more than just the rock format. Mm-hmm. And then we got mixed up in sports, the biggest mistake in the history of the world. And then we came here. And I think, I don't know, I just think there it's a different amalgamation than what we might have had in 2000 or 1998. But it's, I think mostly we have rockers, though. So, you know, I always thought that was the glue that sort of held the audience together. And I always felt great when we had somebody on, like Tommy Lee came in, or
Nikki Sixx,
Bob Seger.
Oh, when Seger worked there for a week.
No, that was really weird.
That was so cool, though.
Bob was just like an employee, and he acted like an employee. He just wandered around, went to the coffee machine, hid out in the production studio.
Had his own office.
Avoided people. And he popped in and talked to us for a half an hour one day. Or maybe more. Yeah, he was really good. So, yeah, there's some music news. And this is something I don't think you have to be a rocker through and through to appreciate. The highest paid, you know, this 2019 lists are starting to come out.
Yeah.
And poor Taylor Swift. You know, they should just give her the songs that they bought when they signed her to her bonus and paid for her first record and all that. And they got to own her records for a while. Well, they should just give them to her because she only made $185 million last year.
And they say part of that was in thanks to her new record deal.
Yes. Which pays her
so
a lot of money.
Yeah.
Kanye West was second with $150.
And that was because of his shoes.
Was it the shoes, really?
He said a lot of it was thanks to Yeezy sneakers.
Damn. Are they that nice?
I don't think they're made for us.
You know,
goddamn shoes.
Every now and then I'll be on BuzzFeed or somewhere and I'll see, look at what people are paying $250 for, this Kanye West sweatshirt. Yeah. And I always find myself saying, I would never pay $250 for that.
No, I don't think you would like the Yeezys.
But apparently a lot of people do. They have to have them.
For a picture for you.
Are they Kanye fans or just is it the fashion that brings them there?
Both. Both.
That's a pretty nice deal for him.
I mean, there's a bunch of different types. Here's the...
Why does he have to charge so flippin' much? I mean, that just...
Because people just buy them. Because they pay the prices.
Because he can. You want to see them? Here, here's the...
I always like the Tom Petty's that try to keep prices down.
Or Kid Rock.
Kid Rock. Tom Petty fought for people. I mean, he really did. When they wanted to make his album... It might have been Not Damn the Torpedoes... It might have been the album with The Waiting, the second or the third one. They knew it was going to be hot. And they wanted for that album to carry the new price, which was, I don't know what, but it was like a dollar more. And Tom Petty said, fuck no, you're not doing that with my record. Do it with somebody else's record.
Did they agree to it?
Yeah, they did. And he did that. He was that way. He was a really... He was just a fighter. He was a guy that was not afraid to stand up to people. And I remember when someone was explaining that fact, and they started going through some of his song titles, which, you know, I Won't Back Down, He's a Rebel, or Rebel. He's got a lot of songs like that. But he was doing an album with Roger McGuinn of the Byrds. And he was helping him because, like Del Shannon, who Tom Petty also helped, he had been a big fan, huge fan of the Byrds. And he was a Del Shannon fan, too. And so he was trying to bring these guys back. They hadn't had a hit in probably, you know, 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
And he thought McGuinn actually had a pretty good shot. But Tom kept questioning a couple of the songs that, you know, why don't we just get rid of these? And McGuinn ended up saying, the record company,
oh boy,
they got a guy here that has writing credit on it, and so he needs to get it on a record.
That's all Tom Petty needed to hear.
Yeah, and Tom Petty went right, he said, who? And he told him, and he went up to him, he said, why are you trying to fuck up this guy's album with these two crap songs? And that was the end of the two songs.
Well, wouldn't you love to hear that argument expressed?
Oh, yeah, no.
You know, the first one's, well, I don't think those songs are that bad. And then if you're Tom
no
Petty.
No doubt.
And then if you're Tom Petty, you go, are you Tom Petty or am I Tom Petty? Who can judge this better, you or me?
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you?
I know. I just...
Okay, those songs are gone.
I love Tom Petty for hating weasels as much as I do, and probably more.
Oh,
I
mean, what like a cool weasel. Dude.
And thank God there are people that stand up to weasels. So, yeah, the top earning, Ed Sheeran's third with $110 million.
Gross.
Then the Eagles with $100. God, the Eagles make so much money. They tour like crazy.
Know,
they never stop, and they charge a ton.
Isn't everybody that wants
to see them? I hate the fucking Eagles, man.
I got to tell you.
Anybody that's wanted to see them has probably seen them by now.
There can be no mistaking that it's not a mathematical error. It's not a decimal in the wrong place. There are a lot of people that really, really like the Eagles. And I thought Glenn Frey dying. I was like, oh, Glenn Frey's gone. He's one of the main two guys.
It's his genes.
Yeah. I think Joe Walsh has become a big part of the Eagles.
Couldn't Joe Walsh just tour himself? And
he can. He absolutely can. But he plays probably 3,000 seaters.
Yeah.
And Eagles sell out all over.
It seems odd. I don't know.
I know. I bet the money difference is a big deal. Although,
By the way, I'm looking at the Yeezys. The cheapest one's $130. So.
Okay.
That's
not that cheap.
Because they're all ugly.
You know, as far as that equation with Joe Walsh playing a 3,000-seater versus Eagles playing 20, well, the Eagles charge a lot more money, but somebody was telling me about a potential interview we could get, and it was with a pretty big star. Let's just say it's Steven Tyler.
Okay.
And let's say it was Steven Tyler. And he was going to play a small venue, and it was like 2,200 seats, but the seats were... Most of them were over $200, I think. Yeah. But, you know, it's Steven Tyler, and everybody's up close.
Intimate.
And it's going to sound pretty good. But there's no Joe, no Joe Perry, no Tom Hamilton, no Aerosmith.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like, why would he do that? And well, if you do the math, if you sell this thing out and you have all these golden price tickets, then that's bigger than his share if it's one-fifth of...
I kind of understand.
I know it's just
kind of understand. It's kind of shitty, but I understand.
It's a strange equation, though, and you would think that Stephen Perry would be going, I don't want to play with some pickup band, but some of these guys you find out.
Steven Tyler or Stephen Perry?
Steven Tyler. Some of these guys
I
you find out.
Do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
That doesn't apply to Stephen Perry.
I mean, if you're paying that much, you want him to be hard.
Yes. Stephen Perry will not respond to that.
Unless he's
He'll just come
eighths.
Out. You'll be lucky to get a fluff by Steve
hard.
Perry. Terrible. But that's Steven Tyler's the guy that when the Black Crowes were young and they got on the Aerosmith tour and they were so excited because they were, you know, they were snobs already. Their idols were the Replacements who, you know, didn't kowtow to anybody and didn't kiss any ass and would go out and do a drunken show and say, oh, who fucking cares? And would screw up an industry show, you know, by
really
saying that radio sucks on the microphone.
Good idea.
Well, it worked out pretty well for the Replacements and the Black Crowes, for that matter. Although Steve Gorman said, you know, it'd been better if we made a few friends along the way than just, you know, being rude to everybody about, you know, anything that was sort of smacked of commercialism. Anyway, it was Chris Robinson who called out Aerosmith for using backing vocals.
Oh, really?
That was back in 91, I think.
Uh-huh.
I know. And
now Chris probably uses them?
No. No.
You don't think he does?
No, no,
really?
No. No. He still is, I think, the snob that he's always been. That doesn't mean he'll always be that way. But in 1990, Steven Tyler would have been, what, 42, 43? It's just kind of lame, but I think it was one of those lazy things. Like, who gives a fuck? We know at least it'll sound good.
Now everybody seems to use them. Every musical act.
There are a lot of them, but you know, some people have less pride than others.
In his Aerosmith band,
Elton John was fifth with 84 million. Jay-Z and Beyonce had 81. They took up 6 and 7.
Why
were tied. How cute.
Why do they get? Oh, okay. They took up 6 and 7.
Diddy had 70. He was 9th. Metallica 10th. 68.5.
Did he have that much?
I know.
Wow.
Last year he was way up there, and his thing was close.
Oh,
it was close
for
him, too. Nirvana was 11th. I was kind of surprised they were so high.
Well, they weren't. Rihanna.
Oh, Rihanna. I'm sorry. Rihanna. No, you're right. They absolutely were not. They're not even on the list. Rihanna, 62 million. Travis Scott, 58. Justin Timberlake and Katy Perry tied for 13th with 57.5 million, which reminds me. Do we talk about JT's apology?
He did not, no.
He did not, okay. He
hurt a lot of people.
That was a weird story, wasn't it?
Very odd, yeah. Something definitely happened between him and that co-star. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's his whole apology is to say, nothing happened, by the way. I was drunk, and I got a little flirty with my co-star.
I don't whore around on my wife.
I, you know, hurt people that I love, and I've got to be more careful. That was terrible. But nothing happened. And I looked at, he was so insistent that nothing happened, you know, with the focus on that, that it made me go into my phone and look at all the pictures, and there's a couple little videos, and I'm like, There's something going on there.
It's acting.
They're holding hands.
Yeah, well,
on
her
the balcony.
Hand, yeah, and her hand on his leg.
Yeah, and the inside of his
crotch.
Leg.
Yeah.
I think if he had to go out on stage, I think he would have been hard at that moment. And she looks fantastic. Yeah. And he's also
Jessica Biel.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't think she would stand for that.
I guess she didn't. She made him come out and
sleep on the couch or sleep in one of their extra 30 rooms in whatever mansion they live in.
He also brought up his four-year-old. Is it Silas or some?
What?
His kid has a weird name.
Is it named after Paul Silas? Big fan of the
Celtics fan? Yeah. I don't think so. But I thought that was kind of weird that he mentioned, why would you mean want to talk about your kid?
No,
I mean, the kid will Google himself someday. And
that's the story that'll pop up.
But did you look at the video at all?
I did.
Yeah, last
okay. Do you know how far his hat is pulled down?
Yeah, so people don't know it's Justin Timberlake.
And he's also, I have to say, he's really looking around a lot.
Well, he's got to have his head on a swivel.
Yeah, he does. But he didn't have it on enough of a swivel, I guess. So, yeah, he was 13th with Katy Perry. And he's sorry. And nothing happened.
I feel like it's the same names, man, every year.
Yeah, I'm trying to,
for the most part.
Maybe I should have just focused on what looked different. Pink and BTS were 15th. Then Billy Joel's got the Madison Square Garden residency.
Yeah, he'll rock it up next year.
But, you know, isn't that amazing that Billy Joel would still be a top 20 guy at his age?
How much does he charge for those concerts?
I think they get a fair penny for that. New York loves him. Bruno Mars is 18th, 51 million. Eminem and Jimmy Buffett both have 50 million. Jimmy Buffett's another one. God damn, he makes money. Yeah. Fleetwood Mac, 49.
AIDS burger in paradise. AIDS burger and it ain't nice.
Fleetwood Mac.
Little boy in South Park. Dying of AIDS in the cold dark. How he got AIDS, I haven't a clue.
It's nice to know he's putting
wasting
out new music.
Away again because of AIDS and stuff.
I was watching South Park this morning. It was an old one. It was the penis measuring thing.
Yeah, the yaw.
Oh my God. That's so fucking funny.
That's the one with Wayne D. Wayne D. What's up, man? I got a little dick, man. So funny.
Yeah, this is really good.
Dude, the last episode was really
good. I could watch it right now over again, and I would laugh just as hard.
Did you see the last episode?
Yes.
With the cable company?
Yes, that was,
you're right, man. Brandon, the part where he's like, I'm on my way.
It's a bowling, a game or two on the way.
Going out to eat, sitting in a park and eating.
That's what the basic
cable give me a four-hour window.
Yeah, that one, I think that joke hit home with a lot of
really funny.
Fleetwood Mac, 21st, 49 million. Then Paul McCartney with 48. Ariana Grande also has 48. Chainsmokers, Guns N' Roses, 25th. They really, you know, now that they get out and they play, they've been pulling in a lot of money. J-Lo, 43 million. Oh, my God. J-Lo.
Same name.
I know. The Rolling Stones, 41. Gaga, 39. Dave Matthews also made 39 million. And then a couple others I was going to mention. Oh, Celine Dion, 38. U2 is 39th with 37 million. And Migos, their first appearance in the top 40 with 36 million.
The Migos.
Well, I'm surprised Billie Eilish isn't on here.
Yeah.
She'll be there next year.
She'll be, yeah, she will.
With that $25 million.
That's all you hear, though, is Billie Eilish, Billie Eilish, Billie Eilish, Billie Eilish.
I wonder who's dropped off the list.
Ooh.
That, like, XXXXXXXTENTACION or something.
Yeah, he did.
I was going to say Lady Gaga. It's too bad she doesn't get paid by how many people wanted to fuck Bradley Cooper, or she would have been the top five easily.
That's right. She's not on the list at all.
Yeah, she's 32nd.
She is.
Yeah, 39.
Funny, just in one ear out the other.
I know. Well, it's Gaga. I like her.
I don't think Juice WRLD will be on the list next year.
Oh yeah, Juice WRLD. Another rapper died today. What's the word I'm looking for? The longevity of the average rapper.
It's going down. Whatever it is.
My God.
Dead at 21.
Sorry, his name is Juice WRLD. There's no O.
Doesn't it seem like, wouldn't it be nice if you're a rapper if the whole street cred thing became a little less important? Would it give them a better chance to live a longer life?
Yeah, but that's not what he died of.
Yeah,
though.
It's
he
worth noting. He died of a seizure in the airport.
And not a good way to go, I'm just saying.
Yeah, they said he had blood coming out of his mouth. He probably bit his tongue.
Wherever.
Well, That sucks, man. Seizures are no joke. I don't know what brought on the seizure. I'm not sure if he's epileptic or if he had taken something.
It's pretty cool, though. He gets to be in a death triangle with Bump Elliott.
I know. How weird. How ridiculous.
Former Michigan coach from the 60s. Yeah. Played for Michigan.
My dad was a fan.
Of Bump?
Yeah. He was Bump at it. Was it Pete Elliott that was Illinois? Or was it Bump?
Oh.
I think it was Pete Elliott, maybe his brother.
Well, Bump went to Iowa after a while. I don't know. Is he the one that hired, they hire a coach away from Michigan? Ah, whatever. Not a sports podcast.
Well.
Johnny Orr, didn't they hire?
My dad would straighten this all out. I just can't. I think Pete Elliott was at Illinois. He might have gotten a little trouble.
Speaking of street cred, did you see Obie Trice, that story?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that.
Weird story.
And Obie Trice, by the way, I hadn't heard his name in so long. Why is he not on this
list? The one Eminem song.
Is that all?
Well, that's what Brandon and I were talking about. Like, that's what he's best known for.
Obie Trice, no games, no gimmicks.
Well, when you had Eminem sort of, you know, getting you out there, you would have thought it would have amounted to something if he could amount to something, but apparently he couldn't. And he's had his troubles, and he was arrested for a shooting at his Commerce Township home. And they tell the story, and you can kind of figure out who he is in the story. He's a suspect. And right off the bat, they tell you that, oops, a warrant was violated. He has a friend of the court. He pays child support through the friend of the court.
Yeah.
Which is means you have to pay it.
Yeah.
And
why is Obie Trice not paying his child support payments?
What is that? I never understand.
Is he going to be on Cameo now?
Maybe. I mean, he lives in
Obie Trice. Real name, no gimmicks.
What he's best known for.
He lives in Commerce Township. I would think he'd be doing okay. Anyway, he had to pay a bond of $16,900, and that's without the other charge. What's happening there is Obie Trice is there. There's a woman there, and the woman's son is there, who's 18. Mm-hmm. The woman's son ends up shot in the leg. And
it went out through his buttocks, by the way.
I know. They said it went out near his buttocks. Didn't they?
See, I saw that he was shot in the groin.
It went in the groin area and exited near the buttocks. And I thought,
it's quite an angle.
What does that mean? It went out the taint? What's near the buttocks? What is that?
I guess upper thigh, but I don't know why he wouldn't say upper thigh.
Yeah. I mean, near the buttocks. How many things are near the buttocks that you can name?
Well, there's the taint.
Pretty much it.
That's it, right?
The yaw.
If what it was the scrotum, the they'd say the scrotum.
Why wouldn't they just say the taint?
I don't know.
Perineum. I mean, everything on the body's named, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, why wouldn't you? Exactly. Near the buttocks? Were they trying to get out of saying the taint or the perineum?
It's got to be the taint or the thigh.
But just say thigh or taint.
So Obie Trice, and, you know, he falls into that category of rappers, too. He, the woman was his girlfriend, apparently, and the call was because there was a shot fired, and apparently the 18-year-old had gotten his mother to leave because Obie Trice, allegedly, was drinking all day, and he got into an altercation with the woman and shoved her. And so the son, like a good son, said, let's get out of here, Mom. And they get out the back door, and Obie Trice emerges with a gun. And
allegedly, I should say that for legal purposes.
And the 18-year-old went to disarm him, and the gun goes off, and he gets shot in the groin, near the groin, and goes out near the buttocks. So, nice going, Obie.
I think it needs to be pointed out what a good job the Oakland County Sheriff's Office did, because the first part of the report says, as they approached the residence, a male subject entered the front door holding a pistol in his right hand.
I know, that's not a good, that's, I mean, not how good. Many that's stories not what you want to see.
How many stories do you hear where they, the police just would have fired at the person? But they they told him to drop the weapon and get on the ground, so I assume he did.
He did. He was, I'd forgotten about this, that he was shot 6 times in his car on the lodge.
Oh, yeah.
Shot 2/3 as many times as 50 Cent.
50 Cent, that's right. I totally forgot about that. No more guns for you.
6 times. And he lived. And, but yeah, that's
funny. So now, if you Google his name, this is going to pop up instead of the beginning of Without Me. I don't know what else would have popped up.
I'll save Kid Rock right yet, because there was another story about music that was interesting. It was about Elton John and the old lyrics for Tiny Dancer, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Candle in the Wind, and Benny and the Jets. It's like, wow, those are four of the biggest songs. And who is putting them up for sale?
Charlie Sheen.
That's a good guess. Charlie could be putting it.
I'm trying to think of who else would be putting them up.
Well, I'll give you a hint. It has to do with...
Paul McCartney.
No. Maxine Taupin. Bernie Taupin's ex-wife.
Yeah. Why does she have them?
Well, that's a great question. I read the whole story wondering the same thing. I'm like, wait, what is she? Does she give him the money? What's going on?
Layla?
Oh, boy.
Hang on, Layla.
So, it turns out they were... Cool, like, come here. Come here, babe.
Quiet.
Layla, come here. Come here.
That'll get her to calm down and yell at her.
They were married from 71 to 76. And she said that when they started selling a lot of records, that the deal was Bernie would write the lyrics. And I've heard Elton John describe this. Elton would come down in the morning and he would go to the piano and he would start composing something to go with the lyrics. And when Elton had finished it, he would give the lyrics to her. She would put it in a folder and they had some kind of a vault that they kept all the documents in. So then I find myself going, well, then how did she get these four songs? Seems like the vault system didn't work that well.
Well, it was her vault.
She pulled a few out of the folder. And the fact of the matter is, she says, well, when we split up, we didn't just put everything in the room and go, this is yours and this is mine. So apparently, she must have decided that those four songs were hers.
Oh, what?
Could have all the rest of them.
Good four to choose.
I know.
How convenient.
Very. And there were some other ones that were going on.
This is what
too.
Sucks is Bernie. I mean, he can't go after those to get them back because then he looks like a dick.
I know. He doesn't need any money.
No.
Not with all the publishing he's got.
Although he could go after them and then donate them to charity.
I think that's
double the donation if he just wants to spite her.
By the way, I think that's what drove Johnny Depp. Have you noticed that Johnny Depp is obsessed with, is it Blake Lively? Is that who's his? Amber Heard. I get Amber Heard and Blake Lively mixed up. They're both gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Amber Heard, Johnny Depp is spending so much money trying to sue her because he agreed when they split up that because, and it was like a kind of like a plea, I suppose. He agreed that she had suffered, you know, in a couple of his drunken rages, maybe roughed her up a bit. And she said, you know what? Give me $7 million and I'm going to give it to shelters.
Oh.
So in other words, he's giving up $7 million and he's not giving it to anyone, really. Mm. It's just going to charity. And she gets the credit.
Was she dating Elon Musk at the time?
She was pretty soon after, which I thought was really weird.
Wait, does she?
Well, she can't date a guy under 50.
Who gets the tax write-off in that scenario?
I think she does.
Yeah, because it goes to her.
She got the money.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Something tells me that just really burned in his craw that, wait, I'm giving her fucking $7 million so she can give it to this. I didn't beat her up!
Well, doesn't she have to claim that, though, if it's...
She can... Yeah. Yeah, she would.
She has to pay taxes on it. I wonder if she...
I don't think she's hurting for money.
I wonder if she kept enough to pay off the taxes.
It almost made me wonder if...
The rest went to charity.
I know, that's funny. Yeah, she took the share that would take to pay the taxes. That's... I think I'd do that.
Most people would.
Why not?
Yeah.
Shouldn't suffer for
why,
it.
Yeah, why win a case and then get a tax penalty?
He has been going after her so hard.
Yeah,
to
good
get
for her.
To get that recanted. He wants her to publicly apologize, and he wants money, too.
Yeah.
And, man, he's got lawyers working around the clock. In fact, they're so busy that I saw a stupid commercial.
Sausage? Sauvage?
It's the cologne?
That, yeah, it ran in the Lions game. It runs all the time. Is that when he's bearing all his accessories?
All his bangles?
Yeah.
All his flair.
He must be listening to the podcast, because I've said that for so long, that he just chose every accessory.
In the desert.
He created himself.
It's so dumb. I mean...
Wearing 3 pounds of eyeliner.
I mean, that doesn't make you want to smell like him?
I know, that's not a guy I would think anyone would want to smell like.
No. But when if you're bearing everything, why would you want to smell like that?
The other thing that annoyed me about Maxine Taupin...
I don't understand that at all.
Oh, my God. He's so deep.
And Bernie Taupin wrote all the lyrics for all the big Elton John songs. Elton John wrote all the music. And Maxine Taupin said that,
When they started singing Tiny Dancer, I knew it was about me. I was the muse for that song.
Because...
Did everyone go, okay, cool, great. No one really asked.
How about you, sweetheart?
I didn't really read much verification of that in the story.
She's been telling that story forever.
I'm a muse. I was Bernie's muse.
Was she even hot? She wasn't really anybody.
She was pretty. Not much. No, he would have had some success, but not the big success yet.
Anyway, she's a low IQ individual.
And then she says, you know,
blue jean baby. I wear blue jeans. L.A. lady. I lived in Los Angeles.
So did
Seamstress for the band.
And apparently she used to sew patches on Elton's stage.
I have a feeling Bernie just didn't want to tell her it wasn't about her. That is a really interesting, like, creative process, though. It's kind of reverse of what they usually do.
Elton John says that he's never been stumped. He's never gotten some lyrics from Bernie where something didn't come to him.
There's that one outtake.
That's true. Yeah, he did struggle with this.
I mean, you're not going to hit a home run the first time every time.
Oh, Bernie, she's really keen. She got electric boots.
I don't know if Elton's trying really hard here.
You know, I read it in a magazine. With Benny and the Jets.
I can make some framework. He's working on it. I guess he's got the harmony down.
God, I love that song. The final version.
I do not want him coming out on stage unless he's hard.
Some people are saying the holidays are for caring, sharing, giving gifts to the ones we love. Our friends and original studio sponsors at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInIndy.com are doing just that, sharing their love by giving you the gift of employee pricing for everyone on most 2019 models in stock. Lease a 19 Ram 1500 Crew Cab Bighorn Edition for $198 a month. If it's Jeeps, lease a new 20 Jeep Cherokee Limited all-wheel drive for just $189 a month. Finally, if you're like our listener, Alan, and you want to roll in the Mac Daddy of Jeeps, lease a new 20 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $255 a month. Luke Nowacki told me he wants to get a Jeep.
Nice.
I think he's driving a Jeep, actually, as we speak, so maybe he wants another Jeep. And Luke and everybody else can go celebrate the holidays with employee pricing for everyone. No discount code needed. You know what that means. No A plan. You're on A plan. Just go. Only at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInIndy.com. And speaking of Luke, Luke Nowacki would love to help you. In fact, he just had a couple come in the other day who he said were doing very well, but they needed a plan, and he was happy to work with them on investments. And maybe it'd be a 529 if you got young kids, as so many people do. Want to save for the future? Have you got your 529 going yet, Brandon?
No.
What was the excuse for not going to Luke yet last time?
The excuse was the IRS. I've been battling them.
Are you winning?
I don't know. I lost.
Isn't it just a matter of paying them?
I lost 2017, and now I'm looking forward to 2018. So,
oh, man.
I'm working on it. I know. It sucks.
Did the accountant apologize?
No.
Really?
It's a mess.
Anyway, yeah, Luke Nowacki, he'd love to help you kind of scout out your financial future, plan your financial future. Maybe look at your 401k. Make sure you invest in the right things. At certain ages, you want to be more risk-averse, or maybe you want to be more risky. I know for people in their, God, if you're in your 30s right now, what a great time to be saving money if you can, because the market is just killing it.
They got killed in 08.
You got nothing to lose, because if you're putting money away that you're not going to need in the next 5 years, maybe you're a little older than 30. I don't know how many 30-year-olds save a lot of money, but then you don't care if it goes down. It always comes back. So you can really, I mean, I think the...
I think I want them to all spend their money, though, keep the economy rolling.
Well, that helps, too, and a lot of people are good at that. Kramer from CNBC the other day, he was on, NBC in the morning, the Today Show. Mm-hmm. They had a clip of him saying that the economic news in December was possibly the best of our lifetime. And I think he was talking about the various indicators.
Huh.
The many various indicators. I mean, just, I don't know what the report was.
Unemployment's low.
And I know the unemployment report was much better than expected in November, I believe. But, yeah. I mean, there's just a lot of...
manufacturing's getting hurt.
There are a lot of good things going on.
It's in our lifetime. Seems a little hyperbolic.
I'm just saying Kramer. I'm quoting Kramer. I'm not quoting
Kramer. I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
And I don't know why they'd ask Michael Richards, but
that's part of what makes it so interesting is there's risk involved and there's risk aversion involved and a balanced portfolio in the end. And hopefully that's what you want. And Luke Nowacki can help you get there charting your financial future. Call him 248-663-4748. 248-663-4748.
Did you mention that Luke was at Killer Cares?
I did not mention that. And I just missed Luke.
Yeah, wearing a tie, looking sharp, looking very professional.
Well, if you're going to...
All business.
If you want someone to help you with your financial future, then they should be dressed up.
Yeah.
He plays the role very well.
Imagine him in a slob.
There are those
sweatpants.
There's some really sloppy people who are really good at stuff like that. I mean, you can't judge a book by its cover.
Yes,
but I want to see. I kind of want to see a guy in a suit, and I like going to the 13th floor office in Southfield and having that incredible view because I feel like these people must be doing something right. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Corporate. Remember, FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Corporate, separately owned other entities and or marketing names, product services reference here, independent of Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. And, of course, you can drop an email to Luke Nowacki at lnowacki@pinnaclewealthstrategies.com.
Great investment.
Great.
A lot of death and blood and money.
How far in are we, Brandon?
Oh, 120.
Oh, wow. This show's going fast.
This here is breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news. And shit.
Booming.
Thank God we have a sounder for this, because it comes up all the time.
Did you see the breaking news?
No, before you mentioned the breaking news, though, I saw his, he had a post... Maybe it was Thursday night or Friday about...
That's the breaking news.
How, hey, I'm so sorry about all the trouble that I caused for the Raiders and the Patriots. And I was just under so much pressure. Sometimes when people are making false accusations against you, you just get really wigged out and you start saying dumb things.
Can I just quote him?
Yeah, go ahead. It's a really... I mean, I laughed out loud reading it.
While my behavior was inexcusable, sometimes when people are coming at you with false information and allegations, we handle ourselves in ways... that we sometimes regret. I do take full responsibility for my actions, and I'm
so they're all liars.
Every day to repair what I broke. I do know that if I'm ever given the opportunity to play the game that I love, I'm going to work extremely hard to show the world how much I appreciate another chance. Now, my first thought was, man, those classes at Central are really paying off because look at how much his grammar has changed.
I know, he really cleaned it up.
He didn't write this.
One of his classes was an English class, so.
The idea that he wrote this. He didn't even write booming in it.
And the thing is that you know he's not sorry. And whoever wrote it obviously had to run it by him or else they would not have had the thing about false allegations in there because he owes some really just people of high standing, you know, a doctor, a trainer.
Yeah, that's right.
He owes them a significant amount of money and he refuses to pay. And not to mention the poor baby mama of three kids of his who has no arrangement set up. So she has to steal things from him.
It's so fake and phony. But this is what works because, you know, most people go, oh, that's so nice. He's sorry. But New England came out today and said, nah.
Are you taken in by it at all?
No.
I'm not either. I would absolutely not want him.
The only thing I'm upset.
The team I root for.
I'm kind of sad about the fact that why didn't he just do this?
With the Patriots?
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It sucks.
Why not just settle the case?
Because...
and get back to making some sweet fart videos for us.
I don't think he can control himself. I think he has absolutely no self-control. I think he's a narcissist to the nth degree.
He might be the only comeback story nobody wants to see. Well, besides Colin Kaepernick. I know some people want to see Kaepernick.
Oh, a lot of people want to see Colin Kaepernick.
But nobody wants to see Antonio Brown come back.
I have to tell you, if Colin Kaepernick gets on the field with an NFL team, that will be one tension-filled game because you'll have all these people who
booing
are
him.
Dying.
In the stadium
we got a lot of people
him.
That really want him to succeed, and then you got a lot of people who really don't like him.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he were to take a team on his back and do well, I mean,
I would love for him to come back just to see the circus. You know, the NFL.
It would be a total circus.
The NFL is dying for him to come back just for the views and the stories.
Except it's got to be one team, one town.
Who's going to do it?
I don't know.
And it's got to be a really shitty team, too.
You know, it didn't dawn. Yeah, it does. You're right.
A team without a quarterback.
Well, that might be the best way. Didn't dawn on me. God, there's so many music related things going on.
Who would
on.
Come back first, Kaepernick or Johnny Manziel?
I think
I'd love
Kaepernick.
To see either one come back.
I know. Johnny Manziel, I mentioned this before the show that I read a headline, Manziel hired to promote, and I think it was a UFC fighting event or something. And I'm like, Johnny Manziel to promote? So I start reading the story. I clicked. It sucked in. And they were saying that Johnny Manziel, who has this incredible social media following, you know, is the perfect guy to get the word out about this big fight coming up. I think it was I'm pretty sure it was a fight. Can you see if that's what it was, Brandon?
Well, so far their investment didn't work.
You know, the only thing I keep seeing.
I'm not a big fan of that.
All the news about Johnny Manziel seems to be his upcoming divorce.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the girl that he said he didn't assault?
No.
Oh, no, that's the last one.
Yeah, they separated a while ago, but now she finally filed. And I think on the filing, she asked for spousal support.
Is this the new girl? The new?
Yeah, the new. They were married, weren't
right.
they?
Right. Okay, the girl he assaulted who said she lost her hearing, she never did marry him.
Yeah.
This is the girl after her. So she asked for spousal support?
Yeah.
She said it was a mistake, though. She made a mistake on the paperwork.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is she a
backlash or?
I mean, backlash.
Well, because why does she want spousal support?
She's a model, right?
Yeah, she's very.
She probably does very well. Johnny Manziel. I don't know what income he has coming in, but when I looked at this story,
well, he's working for it's DAZN is who he's working for. DAZN, which is a streaming service that has a bunch of fights, boxing, and
okay, MMA. I was right.
But it was Saturday. There's a fight that he was promoting.
Okay, so then he probably shows up at the fight and is in the ring and gets waves or something.
Gets hammered for free.
Anyway, so I'm like, really? Johnny Manziel's social media is really that powerful because he hasn't played the NFL in 3 years. So I go to his Twitter, and I think I checked his Instagram, and he has zillions of followers. I think his Twitter was 2.5 million or something.
Yeah.
But then if you look at the tweets, there's like 1,000 likes, 1,500 likes out of 2.5 million. So, yeah, he was a great big follow. He was a huge, everybody had their eyes on him, and everyone went, oh, who cares?
This is really
interesting. He doesn't play anymore.
Do you know they hired another guy to promote it too?
Who?
Saquon Barkley.
Oh.
And
well,
the
he's
goal
playing.
Was that it was the Ruiz Joshua rematch fight. Andrew Ruiz Jr., the champion. Who remember he beat Anthony Joshua and everyone was shocked.
It was really cool.
The problem is that it was the same time as the SEC championship at Ohio State. So who's going to pay for that match? So that's why they wanted to get two football guys to go, hey, watch boxing instead of football.
I'd love to know what they paid.
I don't know if they're the most convincing two people.
That's what a joke.
Not much. They couldn't have been paying him much.
We have a boner line today, and the boner line is sponsored by Lover's Lane. Now, they have three ways to shop for all your sex essentials, 35 store locations, loverslane.com, or all the new sexdrive.com. Sexdrive.com features high-quality sex toys, vibrators, fun and exciting couples toys, and the most erotic appeal anywhere. Shop now and get a gift in time for the holidays that your partner will be sure to love. Sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane.
Whoa. Check it out. It's a sex machine.
I know people don't make those catalogs, and I mentioned it the other day, but those catalogs were really sexy.
You like my vibrator?
Yes.
A hot picture right on the cover of Sexdrive.com.
Bonerline?
Yeah, Bonerline. Let's hear what's on the Bonerline.
Hey, guys. Trudy, but not Maz, because he's not listening anyways.
No.
For Christmas, all I want is just to be put on the boner line. Please.
What a stupid present.
That Dick Cheese screech was pushing the shit out of his voice in that cameo.
Dustin Diamond here. But you knew that already. I mean, after all, look at me. Successful, handsome,
push.
Talented, rich.
Quiet.
When I had jury duty, when I was called, I flat out said, well, why isn't that guy getting up on the stand and testify? And then the judge explained to me why he gets a fair trial and he doesn't have to come up there. And I said, well, I think he's got something to hide. That's why he's not coming up here to testify. I said, okay, have a good day.
I agree.
Me.
But check this out, man. Judge should be like,
Guilty.
I couldn't agree more.
According to comment on how Tom Mazzaway thinks that Mrs. Roper from Three's Company is hot, if you Google what she looks like the Ronald McDonald clown without the face paint. She's all yours, Maz.
Yeah.
Holy smoke. I cannot believe that Maz just said that Mrs. Roper was kind of hot. She's so fucking gross. Oh, shit. He lost all credibility.
You butt out.
Are you fucking kidding me? I just listened to the podcast with Maz on it at the very, very end when he said that Mrs. Roper from Three's Company was hot. That is an all-time low. Way to go, Maz.
Damn it.
I was laughing my ass off when I heard Maz might be the jury foreman. God, could you imagine all the delegating that guy was going to do? It's just so bad for those other jurors.
You guys harass me on a daily basis?
I like the Irishman, but I'm calling about that scene where De Niro's playing the young De Niro and he's stopping on that grocer. Kind of reminded me of the Adam Sandler movie where the old man is stomping out the flaming pile of dog shit.
Call the fire department. This one's out of control.
Anytime Brandon talks about homeless Al, I am stuck. Listen, I cannot turn away. It's like this horrible train wreck. You never know what's going to happen next. Did he see him naked? Did he not see him naked? Did he piss out the window? Did he shit out the window? I just feel there's just so much zany shit that happens when you take in a homeless guy. It's like this crazy wild card. What's going to happen next? Watching wrestling, playing Super Nintendo. It's just everything. Everything about it, I gotta listen to.
Nothing happened with him. Nothing weird. Nothing.
I have a homeless Al story. So when I was in high school about 20 years ago, we're a white conservative family, and we saw this boy, and he was black, and he was really big. And my mom decided that we should take him in. And then we took him in, and we realized he's really good at football. But then he wasn't very good with his grades, so we got him a tutor. And then he did really good. And then he made it to the NFL. Amazing. That's my homeless Michael story.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Hey, the question nobody's asking about the Kanye West, Joel Osteen show at Yankee Stadium is, what's A-Rod's cut of the merch?
Just talking about the interview with John Sinclair. Oh, my God. I don't know how baked he was, but if he worked as hard on that interview as he did getting weed legalized, no wonder it's taken this long. Jesus.
I'm so wasted.
Hey, Brandon, what's your lock made out of? The glass from the Tesla Cybertruck?
It's not nice.
Your lock of the week. More like cock block of the week.
Stop it.
On Thursday / Friday show, you guys did the Belfort Blows bit, and in the background was Gary Glitter. The hate song. And now I'm triggered and Drew and Mike need to be canceled.
Oh my God, this one is so sensitive.
Later, dude.
And that's it. So
now we're canceled.
Yep. I missed it. What are we canceled for?
Because the replay of Belfort Blows has Gary Glitter in the background.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So because of all the Tom talk, I decided to look at his Twitter. This is really funny to me. I didn't understand what he was talking about here, but I think I might have figured it out. So Tony Paul tweeted out, Jimmy John's is a sponsor of the MAC championship game.
Oh, I saw this.
Unpopular take, Jimmy John's is not very good. Which, you know, that is a very unpopular take. I love Jimmy John's.
Wait, Maz is going to say he loves Jimmy John's.
I don't like Jimmy John's either. But this is not where Maz goes.
Maz wrote, and an a-hole.
He thinks Papa
Jimmy
John's
is Papa John's. I don't know why that made me laugh really hard. I'm like, what is he talking about, John?
I've probably had over 40 pizzas in the last 30 days.
But Papa John's just kind of spiraling down. His life is falling apart. He loses Papa John's. Now he's getting a divorce. He says that he's eating all these pizzas, and it doesn't taste like it.
Why does he need to eat 40 pizzas to know it's not very good? And why did his wife wait so long to divorce him?
You know, the idea that
I ate 40 pizzas in 30 days.
Okay, so he's saying that in the, how many months have you been gone? 6 months?
Yeah.
The quality has declined so much, he can taste, what, he made all the pizzas. the CEO. Yeah. He made all the pizzas.
He made executive rules that they all just decided to throw away the second he left.
Pig snop.
So he took the recipe away and nobody can remember it.
He's bitter. He's just bitter and full of
crap. That's such a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
Just mindless. So I was trying to finish up all the rock and roll stuff, and I don't know if we can possibly even get through it all. There's so much. Azriel Clary is one of the two girls who is still with R. Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
And Jocelyn Savage is the one who said, I'm making a Patreon thing where you can pay to hear me tell you how terrible R. Kelly is. And then she said, that wasn't me.
Yeah, fake.
I didn't do that. Who would do a fake Jocelyn? That's so stupid. I don't even know. You were the one that suggested that, and I was like, God, why didn't I think of that?
R. Kelly probably would, because he needs money. I could see him doing it.
Yeah.
It's got to be someone who needs money.
R. Kelly, though, I know the first in line to be paid is the woman who bonded him out for $100,000 who didn't get her money back.
That's a great investment. Don't put your money with her. Put it with Luke.
She met him on a cruise.
Well, yeah.
And she said, he's such a good friend. I'd do anything for him. And then
he doesn't know your name.
When he got charged with more stuff,
yeah,
and the bond went up, but I don't think he had any more money to pay. And so they kept him in jail. And she's like, I think it was about 3 months later. She's like, am I going to get my $100,000 back? And no, you're not. And then she started trying to make a lot of noise. There's got to be someone to get my money back. She's probably going to start a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
And somebody will probably pay it.
Yeah.
But what an idiot. What an imbecile.
Jocelyn or Joycelyn, whatever her name is, Savage, if she would have started a GoFundMe, it definitely would have been fake. I don't know how Patreon works. It is weird that she never did videos or anything. It was all text, which makes it seem like somebody could fake it.
I don't know.
But I still think she okayed it or said.
Well, she is supposedly back in the fold with her co-girlfriend, Azriel, except now. Azriel suddenly said, I'm moving out. I've had it with the controversy, the circus. I can't go through it anymore. So I'm moving into an apartment. I'm going to work on my singing career.
Oh.
The singing career that R. Kelly promised her 5 years and 2,000 BJs and 1,200 urine streams ago.
Yeah. A couple dumps.
Yeah. 1,200 urine streams to the face ago. Yeah, that singing career. The one that he never gets to for some strange reason.
I didn't do this stuff.
Too late.
And, boy, she's got an amazing controversy tolerance. You know, she was okay about the controversy regarding him peeing on the 14-year-old that was on video. That wasn't too controversial for her. She was okay with calling him daddy, calling him master, shitting in buckets when they got permission from him, and being a slave with 10 other girls in various bedrooms who have to ask him to do anything. She was okay with wearing sweat clothes and staring at the wall when there was another man in the room.
So
all those things were okay.
Well, it's all for the singing career, though, right?
Yeah. Well, he was going to help her produce her and all that. It just didn't quite get around to it yet.
That didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
She was busy being one of the 10 slaves. Then, of course, she was okay with the 20 parents crying outside and begging to see their kids and talk to them. She was okay with running around saying that the parents were complaining because they wanted money. And they wanted to sue R. Kelly, and you know, having your kid in a cult, that's a great way to make money off R. Kelly. What else is she okay with? She was okay with so many things. I wonder what put her.
I just don't want to believe the truth.
I wonder what put her over the top.
Y'all trying to kill me?
Probably the money ending.
Yeah, I think we know.
I'm thinking.
Yeah. Well, that's the part that actually. I mean, there's a lot of things about the story that are very disturbing, but here's this girl. You know, who's running around saying, my parents, they're all doing this for money.
Yep.
And they told me to record sex with Robert and then give them the video so they could sell it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, really? Who says that? Who would ever say that?
I want
you to go live with R. Kelly so we can get money.
So, you feel bad for them for the way they were treated by R. Kelly, but then you remember that their motives were not so pure. Their motives were
The girls?
Innocent. Yeah.
Absolutely not. No, they wanted something. They wanted a career. And this girl now, who has said this about her parents for 5 years, oh, they just want money. Well, all of a sudden, her parents, who, you know, barely been able to talk to her, they're so happy that she's out of there that they're paying for an apartment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got an apartment in Chicago.
What terrible parents.
So she likes her parents again.
Yeah, well.
And she likes them again.
I think she's going to like whoever gives her money.
And good luck with that singing career.
I'm going to start a new account, and that's the way it is.
Those drops are the best.
It's going to take 6 to 7 business days to clear. Does that make sense?
Did you see he got hit with another charge?
Yep.
This one for
Aaliyah.
Making the fake ID so that they could get married.
I don't think he'll ever see the light of day. I really don't.
Oh, no.
Did someone say, is this true? Is Tom Mesro going to represent him?
Well, originally he was.
But then he disappeared.
Not Tom Mesro. Was it Tom Mesro or was I confuse him?
I just heard Tom Mesro's name. He's the long white-haired guy.
Wait a sec. Wasn't
Jackson.
Wasn't Tom Mesro tied in with... Well, he represented Cosby and Lost.
Yes,
wasn't
he did.
Who was tied with Avenatti? Was it Mesro or was it Garagos?
Garagos.
Okay. So, yeah, then Mesro is going to represent him.
So, just a couple more things. It's...
He's so cooked.
Sunday was the 39th anniversary of John Lennon's assassination, which is it's still weird to think about because on a lot of levels. One, so many people, if they were 10 years old or 12 years old or 14 years old, when Kennedy was assassinated, which I don't remember because I was 3, but if you were older and you remembered that.
Oh, my mom remembers it. Yeah,
I bet she remembers... like my sisters and a lot of people who were sort of in the zone, what a lot of people get attributed the Beatles to sort of giving the world something, that to go crazy over, that America was just in kind of a dour mood. And all of a sudden, it was like black and white to color when that came along. And it was this whole rush of music. And there was a lot of music that came with it, too, the whole British invasion. And then, for somebody like me that missed the Kennedy assassination, although I did see Reagan shot and George Wallace was shot when I was 12 or 13, I think.
Do you remember MLK getting shot? Or
yeah, I do. I do remember that. I remember Bobby and MLK, but I was young and it was like, oh my God, that's terrible.
I remember Reagan getting shot. I was 5 and a half.
I remember that really well and watching TV, afterwards. And it would seem kind of touch and go, but in the end I was like, it seems like it wasn't that big a deal.
I remember not.
Except unless you were James Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, Lennon being assassinated, so to speak, was just so absolutely like, what?
Yeah.
And finding out.
An unspeakable tragedy confirmed to us by ABC News in New York City. John Lennon, outside of his apartment building on the west side of New York City, the most famous, perhaps, of all of the Beatles, shot twice in the back, rushed to Roosevelt Hospital, dead on arrival.
Wow, the way he
says... Okay, second down and 9.
The way he says dead on arrival. And...
as he's doing it, it's such a serious comment, I thought it'd be funny if he ended it with...
Okay, second down and 9.
Well, there is a game going on.
It was so crazy inappropriate when Brent did that. It just sounded so weird. If he had just gotten to the Playboy by play eventually,
just let the play
crowd noise,
maybe let the play go, maybe let
and then
some
say what happened.
Go by. Sorry, go ahead.
But it was Howard said it on Monday Night Football. That was how most people found out. And then the next day, it was 1980. The Beatles were still huge. In fact, the Beatles thing was, are they going to get back together?
Mm-hmm.
And it was always suggested that they were, but it was they always said no. And then
they almost did on SNL, wasn't that?
Yeah, John and Paul were at John's place at the Dakota, and they were going to walk. They were going to get a cab because
that was so cool. Why didn't they not do that when
I think
Paul Simon offered it?
George, wait, was that when George was on? George Harrison,
maybe.
He said $750 per person, and so they would have had 3 of them. Paul Simon was there because George played with Paul Simon.
Those are
great performances. They did Homeward Bound and Here Comes the Sun, and they were fabulous. And they're on YouTube if you want to see.
Why did they decide not to go down there? Were they not going to make it in time?
John and Yoko weren't quite up to it. John, when it comes to those two, for all their qualities, and some will tell you they love Lennon more or love McCartney more. I love them both. But anyway, McCartney certainly much more the ham. McCartney would have done it in a second. But,
Tom, you shut your cake hole, Yoko!
But Lennon had been, after 1975, he Sean was born,
yeah,
and he became a quote-unquote house husband, and he was like a recluse. Nobody saw him for almost 5 years. And then in the summer of, let's see, summer of 79, or was it summer of 80? I think it might have been summer of 80. McCartney had Coming Up. The song Coming Up was out, and it was all over the radio. And Lennon liked the song, and they were competitive, and he was like, damn it. I feel like going in a studio and making a record.
It was 1980.
It was 1980. And also that Goodnight Tonight, which was also a hit. He had two songs that were getting a lot of radio airplay around that time, and they both had big bass lines, and I think his competitive juices were riled up. So he was working with Jack Douglas, and before he got to Jack Douglas, though, he sailed to the Bahamas, got in a huge storm, almost died, I guess, but once he got there, he just started writing songs, just jamming songs. And he wrote the seven songs that were on Double Fantasy and the seven songs, or seven or eight songs that were on Nobody Told Me was one of them. I think Nobody Told Me was a hit. After he died,
wow,
the rest of that album came out. Double Fantasy, which is so not a fantasy, is that you get seven John Lennon songs and seven Yoko songs alternating. I mean, it's like double nightmare.
Did they have the label ever released?
Every other nightmare.
They ever released Single Fantasy? Like just
you know what they did do?
It would have been great.
Is they released, because 80s production was, there's a lot of music where I go back, like I listen to Steve Winwood, Higher Ground or something. Or higher, not Higher Ground, Higher Love. Remember the song Higher Love?
Yeah.
Remember Steve Winwood had his big run?
Yeah.
That is, to me, like, almost the epitome of 80s production. There's always too much sound, like usually keyboards. And I think that Jack Douglas, who produced Double Fantasy, felt that years later that, God, I wish that didn't sound so 80s.
Is that why they stripped it down?
They did strip it down. And for Nobody Told Me, not Nobody Told Me, but for
which one do you like
Watching
better?
The Wheels.
Love that song.
Yeah, I kind of like the stripped down version. That sounds good. But the song, People Say I'm Crazy. I'm trying to think what the first single was. It was Starting Over. Starting Over was the first single. And hearing a new John Lennon song on the radio was like, oh my God, he's back.
Is it weird to think about his assassination and how it would have been covered today?
Oh, I know. It
would have been a few tweets right away.
Yeah.
From a bystander, and then some really shitty camera phone video.
Oh, there would have been all kinds of video. We would have seen his bloody...
Yeah.
His bloody self.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of misinformation whether he was dead or not.
It'd be a conspiracy theory.
there would be... there'd be phones recording all over the hospital. Probably the cop in the cop car would have a recording.
Well, didn't we even hear for like... We heard from the doctor that treated him. I mean, we've heard from everybody.
We talked to the cop that drove him to the hospital, and that was hard. Oh boy, it's hard to listen to, because he wasn't sure. But he's like, you know, are you John Lennon? And he said he kind of gurgled yes.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, and that was the last thing that came out of him.
I was talking to a guy that just got shot.
Yeah, right.
This is actual audio from the ambulance.
What's his follow-up? Could I get an autograph?
Here's the actual audio from the ambulance.
You remember when you were with the Beatles?
Are you John Lennon? Can I get a selfie?
Oh, God.
That's what it would be today.
I know. Somebody would have taken a selfie with him with six bullets
in him. Or he would have driven like this, trying to just take a picture over his shoulder of him.
Jesus.
People are so bad now.
Yoko would have probably been going, oh, my God, John, we'll get so many likes. Just look at the camera. I just had to let it go. So, he had just signed an autograph for Mark David Chapman.
Yeah.
I think 6 hours earlier, and they came back after going to the studio, got out, and Mark Chapman was still there reading Catcher in the Rye. Mm-hmm. And when Lennon walked by, he got in his stance, and as he was getting close to the doors of the Dakota, he hit him with the first bullet.
His stance. That I know. Load in a stance.
I know. With his stupid book. After he shot him, by the way, he went back to reading his book. Fake! I think that was totally fake. I think he thought that sounded cool.
Even Chapman doesn't know how to read.
But he hit him. Oh God, it was really hard to read this, too. He hit him with five bullets, and he just, like a wild bull, just sort of fell through the lobby and said to Yoko that, I've been hit. I think that was the only thing he was able to say. And they, you know, cops were there in no time. They got him to the hospital fast.
Wow.
But he lost so much blood. So, yeah, that was December 8th.
And you see, for me, I wasn't even born. You know, he died 4 years before I was born. To me,
yeah, probably, what's the big fucking deal?
Yeah, who's this
December 8th?
Oh, this
honestly,
guy is.
I'm not bullshitting you. The bigger death for me is Dimebag Darrell, who died 15
stage,
years ago
though.
Today. And
oh, well, I don't want to shoot myself right now.
nice choice of words. Oh, Brandon!
I'm just
Silva.
Kidding, Brandon.
You weren't a Pantera
Dimebag
fan.
Dimebag Darrell. No, I like Dimebag Darrell. He was a good guy. He was.
Not letting know.
He was fantastic.
I know. He had a lot, he was loved by his fellow musicians.
You understand, you understand the cultural impact between the two, though?
I understand the cultural impact, yes. I understand that the Beatles were much bigger.
It's funny to hear what would be the equivalent for somebody. I mean, I missed the Kennedy assassination, which, you know, comparing Lennon to Kennedy, I'm sure, you know, the nation was literally in mourning for weeks.
To that point, and things that just happened, are you surprised at the lack of mention of Pearl Harbor?
You know, that's
it's just
it, this year, it almost seemed like I didn't even
Saturday.
Just went by and somebody said Pearl Harbor. And I was like, wait, it's December
7th? Yeah.
I mean, there was really nothing, was there? I mean, the nation is so wrapped up in other crap.
There was the, you know, the throwaway story they did on the nightly news because, you know, they have a service out there.
But didn't they just have a shooting there a couple days ago?
They did. They had a shooting on a base there. And fun fact, Jenna Jameson's okay. Did you see that
what?
Story?
No,
she really, like,
I did not.
Pop off about it?
She tweeted that there was a shooting next door to her at Pearl Harbor and she's okay. And then she has since deleted the tweet.
Jesus Christ.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
I mean, but I'm not saying there should be, you know, I just think there'd be a little more reverence about
I thought
Pearl Harbor mentioning
I was surprised.
It
almost seemed like it just everybody forgot.
Yeah.
This year.
Well, it's not Saturday.
Maybe.
People are doing things.
And, you know, I'm not as interested in the news on an off day. Yeah, it's always a Christmas season.
But we're going to get that way. There's going to be a time, seriously, there's going to be a time in maybe 50 years where people are like,
9/11.
September 11th. I mean,
hashtag never forget.
It already feels a lot different than it did 15 years ago. A lot different.
Miles.
Yeah. Which is really strange. I wouldn't. I thought it would happen so fast. But
well, think of all these these Zoomers weren't even born yet.
When I think of Pearl Harbor Day, you know, when I was 20 years old, Pearl Harbor Day, way back in the dark ages.
Who cares?
Who gives a fuck? What's that?
It's so wild.
So anyway, the upshot was in the end, you know, after all there was so much publicity about Lennon doing an album. And he was doing interviews all over the place. And Annie Leibovitz, the famous Rolling Stone photographer, had shot them nude in bed that day. And he had done a long interview with Rolling Stone where he went through every single Beatles song in terms of whether he liked it, didn't like it. It was Paul's. It was mine. We split it. You know, that sort of thing.
Didn't we just have to hear Annie Leibovitz yammer on about that forever recently?
Yes. She. I don't know why.
Why was that? She finally broke her silence about it.
I never knew you were such a Beatles fan.
It was actually annoying because she kind of made it all about her.
Yeah.
She said,
what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
They looked at the contact sheets and John said, oh, I love that picture. And it's where he and Yoko are kind of wrapped up in a like a ball and you can't really see anything, but they're nude.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want you to use that for the cover. And she said, I was already thinking about the cover. And
I think it means she wants a picture of your dicture.
And she acted like, you know, she made this solemn promise that she would put it on the cover. And when John was shot, that people were saying, I don't know if we should use that or not. And she fought so hard to keep John's promise.
As if John could do anything about
Nobody can break a Leibovitz promise.
As if John Lennon could do anything from the grave.
I know. And as if he would really care with... I think there were other bigger issues at the moment.
I know we've talked about it before, but I always... I don't know if I laugh, but I always think it's a little weird when they say, that's what he would have wanted. I think that's
I think it's
a little overused.
I know. Unfortunately, so many cliches get uttered anytime someone dies, and I hate them all.
Because nobody knows what to say.
God needed a Beatle.
You just say it
God
sucks.
Needed a songwriter.
God needed a blank.
So anyway, the I remember seeing Jane Pauley, who was a who's pretty hip then in 1980. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was at the top of her game, and she was cool. I still like Jane Pauley.
She still is pretty hip.
Yeah, she's all right. She's married to the Doonesbury guy. She's got to be okay.
Yeah, well, okay, that's the least hip thing about her.
Well, he was controversial to some degree. I mean, for her, it was an interesting pick, and I guess they're really happy. They've been married a long time. But she did a long piece on it, and you could tell she was really having a hard time. And at the end, she said, what it really is, you know, not only the 60s, it's been over for 10 years, but it's really over now. And that's the end of the Beatles. They're not getting back together.
Yeah.
Because there's no John Lennon. So as strange as that is, it's weird to think of any musician being shot and killed and, like, I mean, it was the lead story everywhere, worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a giant front page of every paper. And I just don't know how many musicians, you know, maybe that's just where music
today
is now.
It was a big deal when XXXTentacion got shot.
I don't think it was
the first news story.
Maybe if
ABC Network News.
Maybe
or
if Mick got assassinated at age 90.
Jagger.
No, you know, it was, who fucking cares? He's in Chile. People are just more callous.
Here's about that old guy.
Love you, Jagger.
What Bieber? Maybe if it's Bieber.
Bieber.
Right? If Bieber was assassinated.
It would be a big deal.
It'd be a massive
big
story.
Deal.
Or Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it'd be a big deal.
That'd be a huge deal.
I refuse to say it would be a bigger deal or even close.
No, nothing, just because the times now and what people are.
No,
like
it'd be a big deal. It'd be a very big
that'd
deal.
That'd be massive.
There was, since we're talking about shootings, you might as well go there.
I was laughing at the Pittsburgh Steelers ran a fake punt and the punter got blown up.
Oh, boy. The naval shooting by this Saudi national.
So pissed off about this.
I know. It's just so, these self-righteous assholes who murder. First of all, you know, he's been radicalized. He was here, and we train all kinds of people from foreign countries here. So it's not like that was some weird event.
No, I mean, he's training with our military. It's an exchange type
program. Yeah, we're doing him a
that's
huge
fine.
Fucking favor.
It's a good thing, right?
Assuming they're an ally. And this guy is tweeting quotes from Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
He also had a manifesto.
Well, it's really weird because he was very westernized and he hung out with people from the base and people got along with him and liked him. And then it's crazy. He took a trip to Saudi Arabia and came back and they said it was like a switch was flipped.
Our friends, Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Our dear friends, the Bin Salman family?
Yes, yeah. The king. Well, king's, Trump said that the king, he talked to the king, and everyone in Saudi Arabia is very upset about this, which is such bullshit.
I remember after 9/11, when George Bush,
I'm so sick of all our presidents.
It was constantly being discussed how close the Bush family and the Bin Salman family were. Oh, my God, they love each other so much, and they love to get together. They hold hands.
Yeah.
And
so
I thought, wait, they had 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers, and wait, we sent a plane around when nothing else was flying in the entire country to pick up all their people, including Bin Laden family members, because we're so close to Saudi Arabia, and fly them back there so they'd be safe, so Americans wouldn't be mean to them.
I don't know. It's so hypocritical. Well, even
we
when,
replaced female air traffic controllers because when the king or one of the princes came in, they couldn't bear to be directed by a female air traffic controller.
Well,
true.
Don't forget when we had to close the borders to figure out what the hell is going on, and there's a travel ban. The one country that's not on there is the one country who is responsible for most of the attacks.
Well, and the one
sent the most people.
And the fact that we went into Iraq after 15 of 19 were from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
I remember the whole weapons of mass destruction, and it really did seem like this seems like a weird circular, I don't know. It's like, we got to attack somebody. And the whole weapons of mass destruction. And I still remember
Janine Garofalo telling us it wasn't true.
And a few
so
others.
That, but
Well, she was right.
She was right.
And you know what? When Colin Powell gave his presentation.
That was the end of it. Yeah. That was the very. And he's really embarrassed by that.
He should be because there were no weapons of mass destruction. Yeah. And I remember when the Iraq War started, there was no discussion of weapons of mass destruction. And I was like, wait, did they get the weapons of mass destruction yet? Where's weapons of mass? I mean, that. Isn't that all this is about?
There were a lot of people that wanted to finish a war that was happened 10 years earlier.
And there was also the whole business of
tried to kill his dad.
Yeah. People need to be free. People, you know when
some people don't
when things morph from weapons of mass destruction to people need to be free, and it should be a democracy, and
greeted as liberators.
Yeah, we greeted as liberators.
I'm amazed because Trump never doesn't want to tweet about terrorists.
Well, I always hated it when.
Where is that?
After 9/11, when some shooting like this would happen, and I'd be going, who's the guy that did it? And you knew if it took a certain amount of time that it was a name they didn't want to say because it would sound like a terrorist.
Yeah. No,
and I then, know. Or they'd say a name that was like, that sounds like it could be a terrorist. Well, and they would say, we don't know if it's terrorism yet. And Trump would always jump the gun and go, yeah, I heard the name. It's a terrorist.
Wasn't that always the criticism of Obama? He would never label Islamic terrorist.
He never wanted to say it was
so
terrorism.
So where is it with this one? Because the State Department, I think just until like an hour ago, was like, well, we don't know. And the FBI earlier said,
they're from Saudi Arabia. That's what it is. That's the
I
only
know,
thing
but
it
it's so transparently hypocritical.
I know. I agree.
It drives me up a wall. Saudi Arabia is not that great. Of a friend.
And Saudi Arabia's got a few issues.
Well, we got bases and we like to sell them weapons and, so it's cool.
You'd think, too.
And they're still looking for three guys because they were looking for six Saudis that were involved in allegedly filming
the shooting. Yeah. Huh? Oh, when I heard that, I was so pissed. I'm picturing, first of all, this lunatic who says America is anti-Muslim. Okay, well, first of all, let's just say that the three guys you shot are anti-Muslim. They're not murdering complete strangers.
Yep.
So they're a little better than you.
Yep.
And you don't know that they're anti-Muslim. They probably aren't. Well, they might be now. But.
Well, they're dead.
What is the point? And he's dead.
Asshole.
It's just so strange to me. I mean, we never had this.
Where's this comment?
I mean, there were kamikaze.
I will call them from now on. Losers.
Where's this comment?
Because that's what they are. They're losers.
Where's that?
I don't know. Is it coming?
No, it'll never come.
Hope so. Yeah, I don't know. That's, to me, I hate when we are watching what we say about someone who does something like that. And I can never understand either. Like the guy at Fort Hood, who should have been singled out long before that.
Oh, workplace violence.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was classified as workplace violence, not terrorism. I could not believe that guy was able to kill that many people, and nobody could do anything.
Yeah.
And it's a military base. And
they don't allow weapons.
I know it's the same way here. It's like, wait, how does this happen in a military base? You've got to think there's somebody with something. I mean, if that fucking guy is able to shoot people, there's no one there that could shoot him?
Yeah.
Well, there were eventually, but yeah, the story, the Fort Hood story is just horrible. Just the worst. And that guy was a prick. A big prick.
Wasn't he sentenced to die? How come he is?
He was.
The son?
He's not dead
He yet. Was paralyzed. Did yeah. he die? He didn't.
Oh, he's not dead yet.
He's not. The fucker's not
still
dead.
Still shitting in a bag, though, right?
Yeah. They, yeah.
And that, I know, that is a fact. He had a colostomy bag.
I thought paralysis was about right for him. That was okay by me.
It's fine.
I was kind of glad.
Hey, I don't have a problem with it. Fuck him. Although he still gets to watch TV. I hope he doesn't have TV privileges, right?
They should not allow him TV.
Or books or anything. He should just have to stare at a wall with his own, or a mirror so he can see that he's in a wheelchair.
Just knowing there's all these screens with all this great shit on it. He can't look at any of them.
If that asshole has seen The Irishman, I'm going to be so pissed.
I know. That's a good defining point right there. No doubt. By the way, it got a lot of nominations for the Critics' Choice Awards.
Well, it's
The Irishman.
A good movie.
I thought it was a good movie, too. I just.
Plus the competition.
I don't think it's as good as they say it is.
True.
I liked it.
It's a good movie, but remember, the competition now is really weak. It's all superhero movies, and that's it.
By the way, I got someone finally emailed me and said, I see the red fox at the end of the movie. De Niro and Red Fox separated at birth. It was a stretch. I know it was a stretch, but it was still was nice to maybe get some
maybe
props.
Maybe they're pandering.
I don't think so. I really don't.
There's another new thing on Netflix. You said you started to watch it, but you got bummed out. It was the Henry Lee Lucas. Is that one five parts?
Yeah, it's multiple parts. I might come back to it. It's just, I guess I've gotten used to the, you know, we have the crime, the resolution, you know, the red herring, the second red herring, the right guy. Will they convict him? Yes.
In a nice little bow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes 2-hour datelines are a little too long.
I know. And the red herrings take too long. And
Henry Lucas is pretty fascinating.
It is. It's a wild story. He's from Blacksburg, Virginia.
His first murder was here in Tecumseh.
His mother was a whore. Well, and so he used to be forced to watch her have sex. Yeah, I've heard that for a long time. I don't know. He says a lot of things. He says he killed 350 people.
Yeah, and now it's like maybe did he even kill one?
Is he talking about his homeboy, Otis Toole?
I don't even think he's in triple figures.
So his buddy Otis Toole, the murderer of Adam Walsh.
That's the weirdest thing about the story is that these guys were killers together. They would get together and kill people.
And the girlfriend that he killed, who was 15, by the way, when he was in his late 40s, is Otis Toole's niece. And she ran with them a lot, too.
Yeah. And I think that wasn't the one he didn't want to admit to.
More handsome duo.
Great teeth.
Than Henry Lee Lucas.
He's got four teeth, I think, when they're interviewing him for this.
So what do they have, like 10 total?
Between them,
maybe. Otis Toole was definitely a tool. He was well named.
Those two dudes.
Take the E off that guy's name, please. What a pair of losers. But, you know, the amazing thing was they kept saying how this guy never left anything at the scene.
Yeah.
He was a clean killer somehow.
Which
kind of was a pro.
Leads credence to that he made up a lot of the murders.
Well, they know.
Because I haven't finished it, but it really sounded like he's like, yeah, I murdered this woman here. And he drew a picture kind of like that new serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these agencies were like, we have missing people. That kind of looks like that one. We'll take that one.
I know. It's,
so it kind of became this mess.
I know. It's like a tip line where you start getting too many tips. And it's really not helping at all.
The one part I did see, they were describing the guy that started the Henry Lee Lucas Task Force, the Texas Ranger.
Oh, brother.
The guy was describing him because he's, I guess, deceased now. And he was saying that he's a hero because back during the Austin shooting, the bell tower?
Oh, yeah, the bell tower. Whitman.
He got in his plane and flew his plane and pointed out where the shots were coming from. I'm like, did they not know where the shots were coming from? It was pretty clear they were.
This is the most famous killing in the world at that point.
They just had this image of them like, all hands on deck, everybody please report. He's like, I'm going to get in my plane. But they claim that Whitman shot at his plane and he had bullet holes in his plane. So that's a little scary.
I want to yell fake, but
it seemed like he could have done more on the ground. Like that one guy we talked to deputized himself and ran to the top.
Oh, yeah. that guy. Oh, boy. Well, it was a fascinating story anyway. I have no doubt he was there, but I don't. Some of it was, he's pretty by the book. How far in are we, Brandon?
Oh, 208.
208. Wow.
Dateline had that great true crime story on guys that worked together. I know it's a rerun.
It's a great story, though. It's the guy, they start it's a tech company, isn't it?
Yeah, and for the record, his name is Chris Smith.
Yeah.
Which if anybody's seen Sleeping with Other People, what's her name? Allison Brie starts dating a guy named Chris Smith.
Uh-huh.
And gets crap for it because it sounds like Christmas. And every time they mention it in the show, they say Christmas.
It's a great movie.
And it sounds like Christmas every time Keith Morrison said it. But man, Morrison at the end of this was just great.
Oh, yeah. Because
I've never heard him swear before.
Yeah, he's like, I don't give a fuck.
He said, did he say flying? It's a really antiquated way of saying it. But.
He's really, no, I love Keith Morrison. He's great. And
this guy is the definition.
Josh Mankiewicz is good, too. All those, and Andrea, she asks some questions I kind of think could have been.
They had dinner. The food didn't matter.
By the way, did I tell you about Paula Zahn on ID, what she does?
You have before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, because the Dateline people and Cameron Hall, too, you see her at the site. Mm. She is physically there. She is interviewing people. Paula's on. You never see her in the same shot with anyone. And she's asking these really emotional questions. And then they cut to the other person who has a similar background, but they're never in the shot together. And so I'm convinced that, and they call it the Paula Zahn something. And I'm convinced that they said, hey, Paula, we'll give you $100,000. You come in one day a month smart. And you just ask a bunch of questions and we get some reaction shots.
Smart. That's a great gig.
But once I figured that out, I don't like her show as much except to laugh at the fact that some of these shots where she's, I don't even think she knows what she's asking. She wouldn't even have to know the story.
Probably just reading a script.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're all in the same room. I don't know.
Got the powerful name of Paula Zahn to promote the show.
Yeah, and she looks good.
I feel bad when they talk about the victim of a crime, and sometimes I kind of have a different remembrance of them because I didn't know them. I don't know what I'm trying to say, I guess. People tell stories, and they come across differently if you didn't know the guy.
Oh, yeah, they
Well, here's one story.
Why do we need to know that?
Here's one story from Dateline. Nice, this is his brother talking about his Christmas
in Malibu on the beach, and got a BMW, and
that ain't bad.
No,
that was nice.
Yeah, he was excited. I remember being with him and in his BMW, listening to Madonna with the top down, and going through Wilshire Boulevard, and
I was stuck on Madonna.
Cool,
where he was in life. So.
Why were they listening to Madonna?
I don't know. Because this was not mid-80s.
They sound like the most horrible posers.
You can't say it because he's
just
dead.
I know. Can't you see the top down, though, and Madonna's like...
Yeah.
Material girl.
Get into the groove.
They're probably catcalling really misogynistic.
They're stopping and talking to chicks.
You know that was the whole point, right?
They got great sunglasses on. Yeah. The BMW and the BMW and Madonna blaring. Oh my God!
Here, try this part. This is the receptionist where they worked was very beautiful.
Sports memorabilia collector. And Chris,
he was very casual, dressed in board shorts very often. Sweatshirts would not be the uber professional person that that Ed actually seemed to be very often.
Chris, with his free-spirited creativity, was the yin to Ed's number-crunching yang.
And yeah, that's racist. He's Asian. Passions too. Yeah, I'll keep going. Isn't there more about, is this?
Yeah,
where she's talking, I'm
both
sorry.
Both wanted to make money. And they did. They worked a profitable little corner of the advertising game. They made and placed ads for debt consolidation, that sort of thing. The idea was to get viewers who saw the ads
sounds
on TV
a little schlocky.
Interested enough to call an 800 number. And when they did, their information
sounds
would
be like they're good hucksters.
Sounds
like they amassed a lot of data.
Each call was a lead.
We were getting leads for people that were calling in that had either credit card debt or student loan debt, and putting them towards companies that would be able to consolidate their debts.
Right away, the new business.
So you do nothing.
I would tell
not really.
Yeah,
you're the middleman.
We're doing amazing. We're doing great. And I was super excited to work there because I thought it's a lot of opportunity for me to grow.
Chris even brought his brother Paul on board. By then, Paul and Leah were married.
Nepotism.
With two little girls. And there they were, two brothers living in Southern California.
My brother would come over from time to time.
Cake job, you don't know anything.
Salt Creek together. Life couldn't have been better.
And Uncle Chris always made time.
They what?
They'd go to some creek.
Huh? Yeah, they went surfing all the time. Chris was the just wild child. He liked to surf and just hang out.
This story's dumb, too. I hope you guys have better stories when I'm murdered to tell.
Is that his ex-wife or his wife?
That's his brother. That's his sister.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Listen to this story. Can you guys tell better stories?
So we're probably 3 and 1.
You know one of those water balloon launchers?
Our oldest wanted to have a water balloon fight, and so they just went at it. And she nailed him. I mean, for a grown man to be willing to get so soaking wet, I was surprised.
Did it work?
I think that could have gone on the editing room floor. Yeah, did that really...
Is that special of a story? Wait, this one, part two, sorry.
Pranks on our neighbors that were nearby in the office suite.
Mind you, Chris had a serious side.
He would play with remote controlled toys and play pranks on the people next to him in the office.
Is this making me think more of Chris or less of Chris?
Well, it makes me think more of him in a way because, man, he made a lot of money doing nothing. He kind of dicking around.
Being a middleman. I mean, that's royal huckster business, isn't it?
Well, I haven't really told a story, though, but ultimately what happens is he just one day quits, sells his share of the business, goes on a worldwide trip. Emails his
family. On his boat.
Yeah, emails his family, cannot make any phone calls because he's overseas, and plus he wants to just get away. He's a free spirit.
Don't forget about the part where he dumped his girl.
Via text.
Via text, and said he was dating some playmate. Which right then and there, when she's like, bullshit.
Then after 6 months,
dead.
All the communication stops, and they're like, what's going on? And ultimately, they pretty much find out that his business partner had been in his emails doing all the emailing.
Yep.
And
made all the shit up.
And they found blood in the office. And uh-oh.
You found a lot of blood.
Dude, how long did it take you to clean up the bloody office, you asshole? Why didn't he fucking repaint it, recarpeted it? He had 6 months.
Well, he just moved out. He figured a new tenant's going to come in and everything's hunky-dory.
Although he did remember he emailed everybody in the office saying, work from home today. I'm getting some new furniture in the office. So he did try to clean it.
I think he was too cheap repaint it. And
the motive for the murder is he wanted that guy's share of the business and his money because he had a gambling problem.
Yeah.
A major gambling problem. And he still won't tell the family where the body is, which is what it is. Like, I can't say why.
I just can't tell you why. And that's when Keith Morrison, he told Keith Morrison, I know you're just here to try to get the big scoop. And Keith Morrison, about the scoop. I want to know where this body is.
Yeah, well, you do care, Morrison.
Layla.
What's she doing?
Easy, babe.
She's trying to bite through the headphone cord.
Well, that's not a good
thing. Caught in her paw.
Electrocuted.
She's trying to separate herself.
I got electrocuted this weekend.
You did?
Hanging Christmas lights, yeah.
Really?
That's why you should never do it.
I know.
How many brain cells did you fry?
It just scared me.
Okay. Did you have to hang him after that, or did you tell Kristen you're too afraid to get electrocuted, so you needed to go inside and lay down on the couch and watch some TV?
Taped it up and got on the roof and hung him. So.
Oh, man. That was your out.
No.
So, let's see. Brandon, how far in?
216.
216. Okay, I just want to make sure it wasn't like 245, because I just can't keep track of time today. It just went by really fast. And I had so much more to talk about, too. Well, first, I'm just going to mention the AGT story, which I've been staying with. And
it won't go away.
I know. I'm so worn out on this story because I feel like I know kind of what happened. I mean, if somebody was treated in a misogynist or a racist way, of course, you know, I think that needs to be taken care of or whatever.
Is that missed on people, by the way? That it's so obvious that, yeah, if they were mistreated, of course.
Well, these people are the highest paid talent at AGT. So they're probably treated very well on balance.
Yeah.
These are the kind of people, though, that if they are even slightly mistreated, they're not going to like it very much.
Which is why it's hard to believe that she was that mistreated.
Well, the Jay Leno story is so stupid. And the fact that she keeps bringing it up. And today I was reading about the AGT story. It was like an update. And there's a Jay Leno joke. Like, Jay Leno told a joke. And also the first thing they said on, I think, Good Morning America today was that Gabrielle Union had her five-hour meeting with AGT. Yeah. She has the support of Ariana Grande and Ellen Pompeo.
Oh, she picked up a new level of support from, who was it? Is it Shonda Rhimes or someone like that? No, was it Vivica Fox?
Sounds right. But, you know, what Ariana Grande just like a tweet or something? So her name's connected with the story. Like, she gives it credibility. You know, she gives these claims credibility. But as I was reading the story today, I was thinking, you know who they really, really, really discriminate against? I mean, if she really wants to right the ship, is they discriminate against women who aren't very hot.
Oh, yeah.
Because they'll never get to be a show host. They'll never have a chance.
That's a great point.
And the reason that Gabrielle got to be a host is because she's really hot. And so is Julianna Hough.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if she really is worried about all things being equal, she should be lobbying for some less attractive women to have a chance.
Although Sharon Osbourne was a host.
Oh, she's powerful.
Okay. Just saying.
And
so should they have an America's Got Talent show to find the new host that's purposely a really ugly chick?
That'd be cool.
Oh, would it?
I don't know.
Would it?
Well, my point is that Gabrielle Union, that she gets probably treated better than most human beings because she's a famous, really attractive woman married to a really successful, powerful basketball player. And I don't think people just jack her around. This Jay Leno joke, I just can't understand why she even keeps bringing it up. She ought to have better material. And Juliana Huff, by the way, has sort of left the story behind. She's not really connected to it anymore. She's saying, I had a pretty good experience there, and if anything was wrong, I think they should get it fixed.
Well, there was something else about Juliana Huff about, like, she tried calling. What was that story?
In terms of having a problem?
I think she tried to call Gabrielle Union, but she didn't answer the phone. Trying to hear it.
Well, she was very connected. She was like, these two women have been treated like shit at AGT, and they're doing something about it, even though they've just been fired, ironically. I mean, Gabrielle Union would, if you read the story enough, you would believe, or you might believe, that they were so upset with Gabrielle Union's appearance and the fact that she looked too black, or her hair was too black, or her clothes were too black, that they just decided to fire her.
Where's the video? Because she looked great in every shot.
I mean, they were fighting like hell to make her look good, and she just went on the set looking like hell every day.
So Juliana Huff says that she revealed that she has attempted to reach out to Gabrielle Union, but believes their busy schedules may be the reason they haven't yet had a conversation. You guys like just got fired from a job? Aren't you doing nothing?
And you know, too, that
she also said life is crazy and sometimes you can't control things.
Sharon Osbourne kind of said the same thing. And one of the things that came out of this meeting was, and Simon wasn't at the meeting, by the way. He sent someone to represent him.
Oh, that was a bad move, Cowell.
I think it was a symbolic move.
But he's got to pretend, doesn't he, if he wants us to go away?
I have a feeling that he didn't want to be in this five-hour meeting. He was supposedly shooting the X Factor in London. But one of the things that Gabrielle Union is complaining about is that Simon Cowell has too much power within the show.
Isn't it his show?
Yes. Now, is that really up to her? Should she have anything to say about how much he runs or doesn't run the show? It's his production.
He's the executive producer, isn't he?
I think so.
So shouldn't he have all the power?
I don't know. Again, I really felt like we're talking about someone who gets in the weeds on things that they really don't want them in the weeds on.
He created it, too.
I think as far as changing these two people, it has more to do with ratings. Because if the ratings were up, I don't think they'd give a fuck. They'd do anything for Gabrielle or Juliana Huff, or, you know, they would certainly try to mollify her.
Frankly, now that I realize he's the executive producer and the creator, it doesn't matter. If he doesn't want you on the show, you're not on the show.
I don't even think it's that.
He's trying to make the best show he can.
The show's been on a long time, and shows get to a point where either they fall off the cliff or they reinvent themselves somehow. And this, reading it from a sort of a reviewer, was saying that the reboot wasn't the best. It was okay, but it didn't really, you know, it didn't really zing. And the ratings weren't down terribly, but they were down significantly. So, they knew there was going to be some kind of change.
The new supporter is Viola Davis from the TV show Okay. Got Away with Murder, and she tweeted her support, which, you know, takes a lot to do to tweet your support. But she wrote, I always say that I never want my legacy to be one where I did not support. Okay, you're thinking about your legacy? Because I know that when you step out and say something that is out of the norm, there's a lot of shame involved and there's vitriol involved, and we have the cancel culture. I didn't want Gabrielle Union to feel alone. She's had nothing but support. Why would she feel she was alone?
She's got Ariana Grande.
Well, she's got Ellen Pompeo and Deborah Messing, don't forget. But I just haven't seen publicly people going after her. Why would she ever feel like she was alone? and being shamed and vitriol. I
don't know. It's this whole having your back and supporting. I mean, everybody has to support each other and have backs.
Is it the individual versus the man?
It seems to be.
So Maz would take her side.
And Simon is the man in this case. Yeah, Simon, Maz would definitely favor Gabrielle over Simon. I had a strange reaction last night because, you know, I'm really weary of these stories. It's not that I don't want things to be fixed or I don't want Gabrielle Union to be happy or, you know, to make sure these terrible jokes don't upset her.
Union.
So a lot of times when I watch things, I'm sort of, it's not that they'd offend me, but I think, oh, but if that person got canceled, yeah, then why isn't that person canceled? And watching Saturday Night Live last night, because we've seen some performances where they go, oh, that's over the top. And, you know, and one of them was R. Kelly and one of them was, I think, Chris Brown or somebody. And they're like, oh, you're humping a girl and that's not okay. We don't do that anymore.
Are you going to talk about DaBaby's performance?
DaBaby.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That was the greatest performance.
Well, I don't have a problem with it at all.
Have you ever seen the video?
No, I haven't seen the video.
Brandon and I, we've watched it millions of times down here. We love DaBaby.
But if all these other things aren't okay, I don't know why that's okay.
What, the dancing?
Yeah.
It's consensual.
Well, he's talking between her legs.
It's consensual. She got paid to do that.
But I didn't think that mattered.
You should see his other videos think that's something.
Those are insane.
Well, again, it's not something to bother me. I just thought, well, compared to some other things, it seems like that's what's so confusing. Because, you know, I'll give another example. The Peloton commercial, which has become the biggest deal. And they're talking about it on TMZ. And they asked
I love this story.
Who's that beautiful black girl that was hosting?
Oh, I don't know.
I can't think of her name. But anyway, said, well, did you notice it? And she's like, you know, I didn't really think anything about it. And then somebody mentioned it, and then I looked at it and was like, oh, okay, but,
I thought that when I first saw the ad before it blew up, I kind of was like, it's a little weird that she's filming herself and doing all these selfies, but I think that's just my anti-selfie thing.
I didn't think anything of it.
Really? The whole thing where she's filming herself?
Today's society.
I would have thought almost nothing of it, except that they're trying to be cool 2019, look at us. And Peloton's kind of a new thing, so the selfies sort of go with that, I guess.
Okay, that's fair.
But I would never have gone, oh my God, this is awful. And so while they're talking about this, the guy who was, at the desk, the TMZ guy with the hair pulled back, not the high hair, but the more.
The surfer dude? Is he a surfer dude?
Is he a surfer dude? I don't know. Is he gay?
I thought you were going to talk about the tall hair guy.
No, I think this guy might be gay.
I thought you were talking about Babcock.
Is that his name? No, not Babcock. I know, yeah, that is his name. And this guy says, when she says, I didn't notice anything, and then somebody brought it to my attention, I was like, oh, I guess, I don't know. And he jumped in, he's like, I saw it right away. Like, this upset me right away. The minute I saw this, it upset me.
Why is he upset?
I don't know. I mean, this business of being upset on behalf of other people, that's like DaBaby. I'm not upset, and I don't want to get upset for anybody else. I'm just wondering, is somebody else going to get upset?
The only thing that was worse than the people getting upset and tweeting about it were the other people tweeting, like, no, some people like to work out for endorphins. And I'm like, no, they don't. No one likes doing it. People say that because they're vain.
Well, okay, so the commercial is a guy comes home with the surprise, the extra bike for his wife, who's excited, and she's going to work out like crazy, and doesn't she, do they go fast forward to a year later or
something?
She's
filming herself. She's doing all these, like, I didn't think I could do it, but here I am 6 weeks later.
Okay, so the horrible thing about this is the husband is telling her to lose weight.
Look at that lover fly.
They're looking at a lot of
subtext. And bring her a gift that will make her lose weight for him.
Come on, tubby.
And, I mean, there are people who are just livid about this. I mean, I don't know how anybody can get so upset about
it. How do we know it's the husband? How do we know they're not siblings and living in mom and dad's home?
Okay.
I think they have children.
First of all,
It could be his children.
She wasn't overweight.
No, she's hot.
She was beautiful, and she was thin, and she looked to me like somebody who would love to get something that she could work out with at home, because she obviously takes very good care of herself.
Plus she's got to watch that baby while he's working and making money to buy Pelotons.
But I was just amazed. And then they were talking about this, I think was on TMZ too, They were talking about how the actor was getting a lot of shit for it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, please.
Negative comments.
This guy went to 200 auditions and he got that one. He's like, yeah, I got the audition. And then they handed him the script, and he would have read anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. He didn't write it.
They could have had him in a Nazi outfit. He probably would have.
Exactly.
Come on.
So, the comeback was, he read the commercial. He knew what it was about. I mean, honestly, the guy on TMZ was mad at him. And I'm like, oh, my God. What is all this anger?
He's just a struggling actor. Right,
I mean, he was a struggling actor. He's a school teacher.
He doesn't even own
a Peloton because he said he couldn't afford one.
Struggling actor with a thick, meaty.
He's just worried he won't get new jobs because of this. Because people are going to see him as the Peloton guy.
Well, yeah.
Did you see she already got a new ad?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's with
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
Which,
yeah.
He has a gin.
Well, she's the victim in the ad, so
I know
people are sympathetic to the poor girl.
Which is kind of smarter than
looks fantastic
to do that to make that ad, but. Really, this has to keep going?
We just
can't be done with it? Peloton losing like $8 billion in stock wasn't enough?
That was the incredible thing, was that, oh my God, it's such a misstep, it's going to affect their business.
I kind of want to buy Peloton stock right now, because it's going to bounce right back up.
I know, I should have bought it at the bottom.
Yeah.
It had two down
days in a row.
What did it start at, and what did it go down to?
I got to look. It wasn't, remember we looked it up off the air, Brandon, when we were talking about that with Zooves? Mm. And it wasn't as bad as it looked. In other words, it might have been a little inflated.
While you're looking that up, I was going to mention the other thing I saw on SNL. And again, this would never bother me.
It was up 4% on Friday.
And how much did it go down?
You mean total? Let's see. Let me look over the last five days.
Since the commercial ran.
So last 5 days.
I'm assuming it's more than 4%.
Last 5 days was at 35.35. Now it's at 32.63.
Oh, okay. So it's still making its way back. But it will make its way back. Yeah. I mean, that's just a big blip. It's actually a buying opportunity.
It is.
They've done this before, the black Trumps.
Yeah, dumb Trumps.
And there's stereotypical things in there. They're stereotypical black jokes. And it doesn't bother me, but I'm just wondering, because people complain about so many things, I'm wondering, wouldn't they complain about that too?
I don't know. It's a parody of like Empire, but with Keenan's playing Donald Trump.
And he talks like he's black.
Mm-hmm.
And the jokes are...
That's the joke, really.
And I'm not saying it wasn't funny either. His name's Darius Trump.
I didn't think it was terribly funny.
I didn't think it was terribly funny either, but I just... It's just weird how, you know, if the wrong person, you know, like if that were somebody in blackface doing that instead of Keenan,
oh, yeah.
Then, of course, it would have been the end of the world.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there were white people in the sketch. I don't know. I'm not trying to get anyone in trouble either. I just was watching that and DaBaby. I was watching that and DaBaby and going, well, it seems like there'd be problems with some of this. I don't know.
I was watching DaBaby just hoping that girl made the trip for the performance.
The handstand girl?
We knew it was coming, yeah.
Yeah, the girl, the twerking girl.
Yeah, upside down twerker.
That's cool.
Yeah. I didn't think... I thought sort of like, well, none of it's, I thought, you know, there was plenty of it that could have upset someone. I thought when she was on her doing a headstand with her legs split and he's talking
perfect.
Between her, like, that's
that
when I
best.
Thought maybe.
That's going to be the cover of our show
because it just seems
today.
Like there's nothing that you could have done back in the day that you can do now without upsetting someone.
Well, so.
Or they'll play it for someone that it does upset.
It's really funny. I was thinking.
You know, it's like you take those jokes out of the comedy club to the people that. There was a really good example of that, too. Somebody told a joke. A Canadian guy told a joke about a story about a disabled person.
Yeah.
It was a real story.
Okay.
And
what was
he
the
told
the
joke in the club. I can't remember, but he was actually fined for it. And he's appealing, and I think he's going to win. But it's a really weird story because, of course.
Surely the disabled person wasn't the butt of the story.
No, it was it's hard to explain this thing because it wasn't really making fun of the person. But someone, of course, recorded it and played it for the guy's mother.
Yeah.
And she was like, something's got to be done about this. But she never would have heard it because she didn't go to the club and she wouldn't have gone to the club. It was, you know.
Well, I was thinking about, because we always say how music's exempt from a lot of the criticisms.
Only some music.
Well, but most of it. And then I was thinking, like, Kid Rock doesn't seem to be exempt from anything.
I gotta tell you, we haven't gotten people want to cancel him,
but nobody wants to cancel Michael Jackson.
I know. I don't know.
R. Kelly.
I don't know. Well, R. Kelly's kind of canceled.
Getting it, yeah.
Yeah, Kid Rock.
I hope they don't cancel DaBaby.
Hey, Kid Rock, Detroit is done with you. That was the headline in the editorial in the, was it the news? Was it Detroit News?
I believe it was the news.
Yeah. Hey, Kid Rock, Detroit is done with you. What? Wait, he's kicked out of Detroit because he got shit-faced and he said some dumb things? And I agree they were dumb things. And I agree he's done some dumb things before. But it seems to me what everyone's trying to do is, let's not dick around here. It's the connection to Trump that has really enraged people about Kid Rock. Mm-hmm. That is what, and he does like Trump.
That's right.
And he talks about Trump in a positive way, and some people just can't handle that. And it just means something larger, like there's something wrong with Kid Rock. It's not just that he likes a guy that they don't like. It's that it's something in him. It's his
Can
dog.
Can you believe it?
It's his dog whistle racism. You know, and it's connected to the rebel flag from 2004. Yeah. And people keep coming back now and saying, he waved the rebel flag. And I heard that like three different people say, waving the rebel flag. And I'm like, that was 2004. He's apologized for it. I mean, 16 years ago, he won an NAACP award in 2011. He's done so much for Detroit. And then it was like, wow, people were so proud of the fact that they shut this restaurant down. And, you know, when we talked to Gary, and I had said, you know, what about his tour? And Gary was like, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. And that's kind of what I was thinking, is that
if he can sell tickets.
It's such a fine. But it's such a fucking pain in the ass, because these this the people that put pressure on Little Caesars Arena, this was really important to them. And the only thing I can compare it to that settled my mind a bit, because I start to think, like, is something wrong with me for not seeing what's wrong with him? Because I don't really like defending people generally. Because, you know, he said something stupid. It had no context at all either.
Yeah.
I don't think it had to do with anything specifically racist. It was a black person, Oprah. He doesn't like her. You know, he said she could do this, you know, suck his dick or whatever. But
enjoy Behar. And
this idea that kicking Kid Rock out of Detroit is a victory after all the charity he's done in Detroit.
What does it do?
And then I'm thinking of people in good standing like Chris Illich, for example,
yeah,
who takes all these tax dollars and builds parking lots instead of these beautiful buildings he was supposed to build and, you know, provide housing for people of all income levels.
Yeah.
And he just says, fuck you. Yep. I'm building my stadium and my parking lots, and we're going to hurry up and get it done on time. And the rest of it, whatever. And nobody's and kicking him out of Detroit.
They hire Detroit companies, too, but they know they can't. So they just roll that into the cost of the estimate. So, yeah.
Yes. I mean, isn't it weird to say, you know, don't let the door hit you in the ass, get out of Detroit?
Everything's about symbols. It's very easy to look at Kid Rock and not like it. You have to know a little bit more about the whole Illich story.
I think we do, but we know. But the people who put pressure on LCA, voices that matter apparently, they know what the Illich. They know.
I know, but
they know that story as well as anyone.
Well, which gets bigger eyeballs, which in turn gets some better donations and more people,
but
which pays their salary.
Which case is affecting Detroit in a negative way more?
But it's not
the Illich is not living up to their responsibility.
Sure.
With taking millions, hundreds of millions in tax dollars, or Kid Rock, who pumps money into charities in Detroit.
Or maybe some of the stuff that's also going on in City Hall. Sure, but that stuff's a lot harder to digest, and if you need to have a charity to pay yourself 1/7 of their income last year, then you got to make things that people look at with eyeballs, and it's Kid Rock.
I hate the idea that this is a big victory. Oh my God, the evil Kid Rock! He can no longer donate to his charities in Detroit. To what, $250,000 into the Eastern Market last year, and $250,000 into another charity. And I'm trying to remember what it was. It was just in the paper. And this is a guy who didn't run around bragging about these things. But now he is saying, by the way, you know, I did do this, this, this. I thought that meant something, but apparently not.
I'm a little surprised there hasn't been more support for that, for, you know, well, his charitable work.
I think the people in Detroit that would like to support him, and you know what?
Well, they can't.
Honestly, maybe he's just too, because he's connected to Trump. And, you know, it's strange. I'm not connecting Kid Rock to these people, but I was listening to Hillary Clinton talk about Lindsey Graham, And I, like, these people, honestly, I don't like talking about or suggesting that I like any of them or dislike any of them. I just really try to stay clear of it. But I was interested when she was suggesting that Lindsey Graham's brain has been hijacked because Rudy Giuliani, now that Rudy Giuliani's connected to Trump, it's like, he's crazy now. I mean, he was this really successful mayor. He took the mob out of New York. I mean, he did a lot of great things, but all of a sudden he's working with Trump and he's crazy.
He seemed to learn a lot of lessons from that mob.
And Lindsey Graham, who's now connected to Trump, he's crazy. And, you know, Joe Biden is livid with him. And it's, they really are kind of suggesting it. Oh my God, what's happened to Lindsey Graham? And it's sort of like that with Kid Rock. What's happened to Kid Rock? Oh my God. He's all, hear what he said about Oprah?
I did think Hillary's point, though, about, you know, look at McCain. McCain would stand up to him, and he used to be friends with Lindsey. It's just that doesn't work. That doesn't work if you need to get rehired or AKA voted back in. So they just go with the party line. It's stupid.
Yeah, I don't know enough history about Lindsey Graham to know if his brain's been hijacked.
Well, but come on.
I don't think people his age generally just go insane all of a sudden. And I think Kid Rock, who was in great standing in Detroit in 2015 or 2014, I don't think he's that different a guy. But, you know, hey, congratulations. You kicked him out of Detroit. Got this awful, horrible person out of Detroit. I know. What?
Doesn't do anything.
And taking credit for it.
That's why I like what he said when he's like, I now handle over to the National Action Network the wheels in your hands, because they're not going to make up those
donations. They won't. They absolutely won't. They won't even try. And I was reading the story today in the Free Press about how, Kid Rock.
The rock star's dead, right? I mean, we're not going to have rock stars anymore.
It's just, I don't know.
Dead. You can't have that.
Well, Kid Rock is more of a, he's a rock star. He's absolutely a rock star. He's not dead.
No, but I mean,
rock and roll music, you mean?
No, the classic rock star, the rabble-rousing, you know, hotel trashing. That's just done, right?
That's a funny question.
I mean, I'm kind of glad. I'm kind of glad Motley Crue is still being Motley Crue to a point, because, you know, obviously they've aged out of that and they've grown up a little bit.
Well,
but,
you know, I remember
that
Joe,
the imagery is still there.
I remember Joe Walsh talking about taking a. He had a. One of those bandsaws.
Yeah.
And cutting up furniture and gluing stuff to the ceiling because somebody was coming back, and I don't even remember who it was. I think it was somebody in James Gang going back a ways. And by the time this all came to light because they went out, did the show, came back, and room service came in, or not room service, but the maids came in. Yeah. And they're like, oh my God, you won't believe what's happening to that room, and this room, and this room. And so he said, by the time we checked out, we had a contractor with us. They had to call a contractor to give an estimate so they could check out.
It's like, where's the childish behavior from musical geniuses?
I mean, Elvis was, you know, Elvis's excesses were, that was like the template for rock stars, whether it was Guns N' Roses or Keith Richards or the Rolling Stone or Keith Moon and The Who and, you know, all that. That was just young people being crazy and
Be glad,
living the life.
Be glad DaBaby had that twerker with him then.
Well, it wasn't that it bothered me. I just am going... If that was someone else,
no, but now it seems
would that
to be
a
more,
big problem?
Seems to be more serious.
This guy
type
is cool. I don't know.
Seems to be that it's just shootings now. That's the dangerous type of quote unquote rock star, music star.
Well,
where people get hurt.
The quote in the Free Press was old school figure who was awakened in the age of woke.
What?
Huh?
What?
Kid Rock is not old school. Kid Rock is a very current guy. He's not that old. He's like 40, 47, 48. I mean, Kid Rock could sell out some pretty sizable arenas right now. I mean, are you not allowed to be like Motley Crue and Kid Rock now? Are you not allowed to be that way?
I don't think so.
I mean, are arenas going to shut them down too?
You don't see that anymore. You don't see those crazy antics.
Well, not coming up the pike. Green Day was kind of wild.
I guess you had Bieber with the Lamborghinis that he was racing and stuff, which Say what you want about Bieber's soft music. At least he was starting to live that lifestyle because
he did egg the neighbor's house, if you remember.
Well, come on. He was, what, 16?
I don't know how old he was.
But he
hit the outro brand.
He was on that route until he took a turn. Get us out of here.
Yeah, he was a party boy.
Until he found religion.
I know, and I'm not sure what that's exactly all about.
Well, hey, whatever works, but it's like, where's that? Entertain me. Let's hear some of these stories.
Let's see.
You look crazy.
Trudy will be here tomorrow. Don't forget the Amazon portal. Why do people keep telling me, you should be on Patreon? Because that's
it's very
charging
similar
for the show, isn't it?
We looked into it, and basically it's the same as PayPal, and more people have PayPal. More people are used to PayPal. And we already had PayPal going.
I just said I'm looking at some of these other shows.
We're
on Patreon, and it's working out great.
Well, I know when it started, Patreon is supposed to be for artists and stuff like that. And when it started, they didn't take nearly as big of a cut until they got bigger. And it's like, okay, since everybody else is taking this cut, this is what we're taking.
Well, yeah, I didn't see it as a solution at all. I mean, I want the show to be free for anybody who wants to hear it free.
If you're able to do Patreon, most people would have a PayPal, too.
You know what I almost forgot to mention today was that the Denby High School list of demands that was supposed to be, they're meeting on Monday, today, essentially. What's the organization? Something Now?
Moratorium Now.
Moratorium Now. That was a real list?
They emailed me back and said they are meeting Monday night to, get those demands, get some free scholarships, and declare Elmont a racist high school.
Yeah. I guess they would be a racist band, too. I know, it's the list. Maybe when we hear about this on Monday, we'll talk about it Tuesday. It's just a really weird story. See you.
It's real. It's real.